I'd like to call to order the City Council meeting of Monday, March 18th, 2013. It is 6:30 p.m. Could we have, in fact, if we could all stand and we'll have a moment of silence. And now I'd like to call Bailey forward. She's going to do our flag salute. Bailey is 9 years old. She's a third grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School, and she actually thinks school is fun. Her favorite subjects are math, spelling, and science, and Bailey likes the fact that she can hop in the car and go to the beach, and she can also walk to school.
Great job. Excellent job.
Thank you, Bailey. Madam Clerk, could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. And I believe we need to hear from the city attorney. We have some closed session announcements.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. On Monday, March 4th, after meeting in closed sessions regarding two items, first one being labor negotiations with all employee groups, the other one being potential litigation, one case, Council went into open session and there were no reportable actions taken in closed session.
Thank you. And at this point, we have the agenda review. Is there anybody who wants to make any changes to the agenda this evening? Okay.
I'll move accept the agenda as published.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next part of our agenda is the ceremonial calendar, and we have a proclamation supporting the County of San Luis Obispo, the policy to buy local agricultural products, and Mayor Pro Tem Bright is going to do that for us.
Okay, thank you. This is a proclamation of the City of Grover Beach supporting buy local. Well, I guess I can read from here just as well. Buy local agricultural products. Whereas the City of Grover Beach is committed to enhancing the quality of life of residents and visitors, and whereas extraordinary agricultural products are produced year-round within San Luis Obispo County, and whereas the City of Grover Beach hosts farmers markets at Ramona Garden Park in conjunction with our annual Sizzlin Summer Concert Series on Sunday afternoons from June through September, and whereas many restaurants in the South County area buy locally and feature locally grown food on their menus, not only to provide patrons with excellent food, but also to showcase regional specialties, and whereas governmental entities and public institutions play a vital role in providing leadership and setting an example in support of a sustainable food supply, and whereas buying local may help us decrease our carbon footprint by reducing long-distance transportation and large-scale packaging, storage, and preparation of food. It also supports our local economy, keeps money circulating within our own community, helps ensure food security by keeping local farms and ranches in production, and encourages better eating habits by offering better-tasting, fresher produce in our schools and other institutions. Now, therefore, be resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim its support for the San Luis Obispo County policy encouraging citizens to buy local agricultural products. Be it further resolved that the City Council urges residents to purchase and consume local agricultural products to help promote economic vitality, support our local food shed, and to promote public health by making fresh and nutritious produce readily available for all.
Would you like to come forward and then say a few words when you're done? And I think we have a photo op as well there. Kathy's going to...
Thank you.
My name is Kathleen. Is this on? Yes. My name is Kathleen Carley, and I'm a division manager in the County Public Health Department. I'm also a member of Healthy Eating Active Living San Luis Obispo, or HEAL SLOW. HEAL SLOW is the countywide obesity prevention coalition. Obesity is a prevalent and ongoing issue for our country as well as our county. In 2007, the Board of Supervisors approved a community action plan to increase healthful eating and regular physical activity among children in San Luis Obispo County. One of the strategies was to adopt and implement community-wide policies that increase accessibility to healthy foods and physical activity opportunities. We know that policy work is the key to turning the obesity tide. The work done in the tobacco field is a great model. In the 1950s, close to 50% of the American public smoked. Today, only about 10% of the population of our county smokes. And a large reason why smoking rates have dropped so dramatically has to do with policies that are passed, such as the policy that your city council passed.
Not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we can't act on any items that are not on the agenda. So if anyone would like to, I'll open public comment, and if anyone would like to come forward, you'll have 3 minutes. Thank you. And if you could give us your name and address so that we can get it correct in the minute, the minutes. Thank you.
Nathan Spooner, at 449 North 6th Street. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to commend the council on the improvements that they're doing in Grove Beach. I really think they're doing a great job. However, my question is, I've lived here for 19 years, and in my neighborhood, Newport and 6th, I was going to bring a penny, but I have a quarter. I haven't seen one penny spent on the streets from my neighborhood. From Newport 8th down to 4th, it's been bumpy, lumpy, and jumpy ever since I've lived there. So my question is, when do you plan on budgeting money to fix the local roads, or do you? I don't know if we can have an interaction on that, but it's a simple question. Or how can you put it on the agenda?
I think maybe once we're finished with public communications, we'll ask staff to address that, and we'll get back to you. Thanks.
I appreciate that, because sure. I know PASO just passed the thing where they're going to do some things, to me it's an important, because one last comment, when relatives and friends come, they say, what a beautiful place you live, but what is it with these streets? I mean, in the old area where I live, so that's a concern for me.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward?
Don A. Vasson, Grover Beach. I consider myself lucky tonight because this last weekend I had a big deal going on. I'm in the beef business. Had a lot of people come to help me out. I grew up in the Depression. I know how to do business, and it's paid off for me. And I'll never see my 70s anymore. I never went to Lauren Monroe School. I didn't go to college. So I know business backward and forward. I worked for Safeway Bonds. Merle Williams taught me a lot. But anyway, tonight, I see two men here that I talked to a man by the name of Cummins for him. Last Thursday, I spent an hour in the district attorney's office because I want to get to the bottom of this situation. You people, I asked you last week, meeting to put this on the agenda. How do you go about that? Remember I said something about Clint Eastwood said that this is our town and you work for us? So how do I get something on if you don't believe in what Clint Eastwood said? So, water meters. There's a problem. People are getting overcharged. I can prove it. 3 times already. May, last year, I had my bill come, I had the same amount used in the dollars and cents as next door, a rental I've had there for 30 years. There's 4 or 5 people over, 20s and the mother's 40. I have an old lady and me, an old man, and a member of the family part time. She lives across the street, she can tell you what I do. The yard was brown last year. The avocados died, and this year I got some grass with the rain. But anyway, when I looked at that bill, I got the same amount of dollars and cents. I've seen you before. We've talked. And I came down here and I talked to this man over here. Most incompetent person in this irresponsible person I have ever met in my life in the 50 years that this place has been on the map. And so I was told, oh, I got a leak. I told the city employees, no, I don't. Plumbing's 3 years old. I had two plumbers, $80 an hour, no leaks. Had three termite people, nothing. Last termite, I hired to get rid of the termites in both ways. In July, if mine, $1,660 is more than a rental for people. I had gone to the Midwest in May, so that made my wife and another member of the family there. They didn't use much water, but I hadn't used more water than next door. That is so incompetent. It's just uncalled for. It's a disgrace. When I worked for St. Clair Bonds and Williams, the Winston Major came in and checked me out and all the rest of them. You didn't dare overcharge, or you were history.
Mr. Weissong, that's 3 minutes. Thank you.
Well, anyway, so then it came up, and he says, oh, I'll take...
Three minutes, Mr. Weissong. I need you to wind up.
Thanks. Put on the agenda, ma'am, please.
Thanks, Mr. Weissong. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Okay, hearing none, we'll close public comments. And we're going to move into the public hearing. And the first item, well, in fact, before we do that, I had said that we'd respond to the gentleman's question about the streets. And I'm wondering, City Manager, if you could kind of give a recap and maybe mention what's on the agenda this evening, too.
The last couple of years, because of budget constraints, we have spent less than that, somewhere outside, somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 per year. It's largely because of the impacts to the general fund by the local economy. Right now, the short and long-term approach, at least that we've identified, is to use what we can to repair the streets that are in biggest need, if you will. And then, as the council's indicated thus far, long term, we're going to have to look at a financing solution that may require some kind of a bond issue, and because ultimately the full cost to repair the streets is somewhere between $30 and $40 million.
Thank you very much. And I, we have repaired a few streets over the course of the last 5 or so years. We've done Atlantic City, we've done Long Branch, North and South 4th Street,
12th Street,
some work on Grand Avenue. There have been, Did you say 14th Street? 14th Street?
Right.
Okay. So we have done some work on some streets, and mostly a lot of them have been in association with the Safe Routes to School. We were able to get grant funding, and so we've been able to do some work on those streets, and we've been doing our best to keep them up. I think one of the things that helped me understand the situation with the streets is that before the late 1950s, when we were incorporated, apparently our streets were pretty much sand dunes, and they weren't even dirt roads, they were sand roads, and the city or the county would throw a little oil on them, and then when we got a little bigger, they'd throw a few rocks on the oil, and then we got a little bigger, they'd throw a little asphalt on the rocks, and then when we grew some more, they'd put a little put a little more asphalt on, and so we never had, in many of our streets, we never had proper foundations. So now, and so that had two effects, in a double whammy. First, the streets break down really quickly, because if you don't have a proper foundation to anything, you don't build a house upon sand, and you don't build streets on sand either. So that's number one, they break down fast. And number two, in order to repair them, you need to start from scratch and build the foundation. So every city block costs us $200,000 to $250,000, and on an annual budget that we have now of about $7 million, that doesn't go very far. So that's the number one problem. And I think that the time has come now that most of us are so tired of driving around on these streets that maybe we're willing to talk about how we get it fixed like Paso did. And so I believe we'll be considering that this year. I know many of us have set up here that we'll try to bring something forward to get the public to come talk with us and figure out what people might want to look at doing in terms of a bond. So we're working on it, and we're going to talk about that tonight when we talk about our goals. So stay tuned and come see us again and let us know what you think. Thank you. So did anybody else want to say something? No? Okay.
Actually,
yeah,
you don't mind.
Jeff, you looked like you wanted to say something.
Sure. I just wanted to say that I did speak with Mr. Weissong earlier today
and did indicate
that I would meet with him later in this week in order to see the materials. I know staff has met with him extensively in an effort to try and address his concerns. And obviously, he hasn't been satisfied with that for whatever reason. So I indicated I would meet with him later this week in order to see that and then discuss with city staff after that.
Thank you. So now we'll move into our public hearing, and our first item is submittal of State Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, application, and I believe that's going to be covered by Community Development. Bruce Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Back on February 19th, the Council held a public hearing to discuss potential projects to be included in the State Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, application. As a result of the meeting, the Council directed staff to proceed with an application that included a public improvement project related to replacing substandard water lines, primarily 2- and 4-inch lines, 2 planning and technical assistance projects, and a housing project. The Council indicated that the 2 planning and technical assistance projects should include an update of the city's economic development strategy and either an housing element update or a conceptual street plan for North and South 13th Street, and that was going to be depending on the cost of the housing element update. Staff did go back, and we met with Lisa Wise Consulting, who's prepared our last couple of housing element updates, and we reviewed the new HCD streamlining process, and unfortunately we figured out that it's still going to require a significant amount of staff time to update the housing element. So based on that information, staff is recommending the housing element update be included in the application with the economic development strategy update for the planning and technical assistance grants. In regards to housing projects, the Council discussed a housing rehabilitation program for both owner and tenant-occupied dwellings, a home, the housing project, and be included in the grant. So staff's recommending the CDB application be submitted as follows. The public improvement project for $1.5 million for water line improvements, the planning and technical assistance grants for the housing element and economic development strategy update, and the affordable housing land acquisition for up to $200,000, which would make the total CDBG application be $1.8 million, with the maximum being $2 million, as you may recall. As an alternative, though, the Council could select either the housing rehabilitation and or the homeowner assistance program, and that then the total grant amount could be up to $400,000, bringing us to the $2 million total CDBG application. So in conclusion, staff's recommending the Council open the public hearing and receive public comment tonight. Select the projects for inclusion in the CDBG application as the Council sees fit, adopt the resolution confirming the selected projects, and then directing staff to submit that application. And that concludes staff's report.
Thank you, Director Buckingham. You've given us some good feedback on the direction we gave. Does do any of the Council members have questions?
No, to my right? I have none at this time.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
No, thank you. Not at the moment.
All right. I wonder if our new council member has a question or two.
None at this moment. Thank you.
All right.
I just have one.
Okay.
Bruce, going back to one slide, if you would. So the housing rehab and the homeownership assistance, refresh my memory, there hasn't been any local interest for that program, which is one of the reasons why we talked about using the money for the housing acquisition, correct?
Correct. The city did do its own housing rehabilitation project a few years ago with redevelopment agency monies, and it was successful. We had about 13 applicants. The question became, was there going to be continued demand for that? We at that point, if we would have continued the program, would have done more advertising in the scene if there was more interest. As far as the homeownership assistance program, we contacted the county. They have a large grant, and they administer homeowner assistance countywide, including for citizens of Grover Beach. And to date, they had not received any applications from Grover Beach residences. So that's the only tests we have right now to determine how great the demand would be.
Mayor, and if I may dovetail on Director's comments, Council, in choosing which housing project you wish to proceed with, should also keep in mind the fact that we are still contractually bound, whether or not other aspects of that are come into play. But there exists an agreement between the city and Mr. Vernon for transfer of that property to that housing project. Now, as we all know, the Department of Finance invalidated the agreement, and we are in the stages of figuring out what all that means. But if the application would be successful, that problem would at least be addressed in that regard.
Thank you. That's helpful.
I just had one more question.
Sure.
So is this an all-or-nothing application, or does each activity stand on its own with regards to success opportunity?
Each one stands on its own.
Okay. That's what I thought. Just wanted to confirm.
That's helpful, too. So I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward and comment on this item?
Good evening. Anita Schauer, 867 North 6th Street. I was wondering if the Housing Authority was going to factor into any of this. If we have they have a new executive director, and perhaps they want to come into South County now and do some projects. So I don't know if you know anything about that, or if they've made any forward motion to the city of Grover Beach to do that.
I will gather up all the questions and ask them at the end. Thank you. Is there anybody else who wants to come forward with comments or questions? Oh, Sharon, come on up. Maybe while Sharon's coming up, I know People's Self-Help had come forward at one point, but I don't think we were able to do anything with them. As far as the Housing Authority is concerned, I don't know that we've had any contact with them. No?
We have had contact with the various representatives mm-hmm. off and on for out the last couple of years. One of the things that the Mr. Buckingham and I have discussed is actually having a meeting here to take a look at the alternatives for projects long term here in town without any specific relationship to this particular request.
Thank you. Okay. And I think, I believe that in the staff report that we received, and I believe this was online, the notes from the last meeting where we discussed this were there, so that I believe that information was available online, but I don't know if it's out front with the agenda.
The background information mm-hmm. was provided to the council mm-hmm. in the last staff report, which was an attachment to this staff report.
Right, okay. All right. And you weighed all that up, and we gave you direction, and you came back with that.
Yeah, I can give you a 30-second summary,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
All CDBG projects mm-hmm. have to meet one of three criteria. Benefit to low and moderate income persons, which is really our criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Prevention or elimination of slums and blight, or meeting an urgent community need post-disaster. So
okay.
you have to, first of all, fit into one of those three categories. Then, as you recall, they break it down into six different activities, public improvements, public facilities, public service, planning and technical assistance, housing, and business assistance and microenterprise assistance. So
okay.
the last meeting we went through and talked about a bunch of potential projects within those six activities. Ultimately, the council can choose up to three activities that total up to $2 million in grant funding.
And then what you did was you had a consultant who was able to tell you what's most likely to get funding, and so we gave you some direction on what we'd like you to move forward
Correct.
With based on that.
The key the mm-hmm. strategy of all of this is trying to also select projects that are not only beneficial to the community, obviously, but that we will have a stronger chance in competitively scoring against other cities.
And so based on all of that, you went asked a few more questions, and then you've come back with your list, and now we get to choose.
That is correct.
Okay. After we hear from the public.
The public is back.
Yes, public.
And just to say comment on the staff report and all of that. Yes, it's online. and that part's online too. So that's how I usually get it all. But yeah, it was quite involved.
It is, and it's very helpful to have that summary. And I think that that would be is a useful guideline for the future, that to just recap when we get started.
Well, the question becomes, is it better for the community to rehab a house, to help somebody who, I don't know if they're first-time home buyers or what, as far as assistance in purchasing, or is it better to acquire the property? You know, so I think that when we're making judgments like that, that we need to keep those things in mind, mm-hmm. as well as what's the most likely thing to fly. Because we know it all has to, we're competing for money from the grants. We're competing with cities all over the place. So we don't want to just put any old thing in there that's going to be turned down. We do want the things that are most likely. But when we're having to make judgment calls, is it better to rehab some of 13th or something else? So that was my concern.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your thinking about that. Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to come forward and comment on this? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council and we'll talk about some of those issues. Did you have a comment this time, Councilmember Marshall?
Sure.
This is comment time now.
Comment time. So it was interesting hearing the public speak on this, and one thing that was I think it's Brown, Sharon Brown?
Yeah, Sharon Brown.
Yeah, I think Ms. Brown brought up a good point, is we're competing. And if we do the housing, I read through the staff report, and you've all done a great job, staff and mm-hmm. city council. And so I have no real concerns with what direction we go. But after listening to the public, I look at the housing rehab, this option number three, and the homeowner assistance for $400,000. And I kind of look at that versus the land acquisition option. And that seems, the land acquisition seems more like a proactive approach, and maybe something that CBD funds would, maybe the funding agency would look more favorable upon. So that's kind of my thinking on this.
Thank you. Councilmember Lee?
And actually, I'll second what Councilmember Marshall was saying, and just kind of throw in my past experience with doing CDBG applications. Try and say that five times fast and not trip up the tongue. But the...
Be hopeful that were successful, that would be released well.
It would be great, yeah. It'd be a great cash injection. I have quite a lot of experience of the homeownership assistance. Being a real estate broker, we hear a lot from lenders, and I know that there are a lot of programs out there right now that do help people. People think that you can't buy a house without 20% down, but right now there are a lot of ways through FHA and VA where buyers can buy homes again with almost no down payment or none at all by asking sellers to pay their down payment. So there are things available already, and I think it mentioned that the county has a program. So that's really not something that we need to be offering here because it's already available. And I don't think there's a whole lot of uptake on the VA and the FHA right now, but as you know, obviously there doesn't seem to be much need in Grover. So I think that we would be wasting money that we could be spending somewhere else if we did the homeownership assistance. And I know we've done a significant amount of the housing rehab. So I'm inclined to say because it has the potential for keeping us out of court, which is expensive and wasted money, and it also has the potential for keeping the state happy because they insist that we build low-income housing, but we're not the kind of city that has big lots that we can build lots of units on, and therefore we have trouble getting assistance from other agencies. I think that it solves a lot of problems that down the road cost us money and cause us problems. So I'm inclined to say, yes, let's go with the housing project. And unless there is any other discussion, I would suggest that someone make a motion.
Well, I will make a motion that we adopt the resolution confirming the selected projects and direct the staff to submit the application.
I'll second that.
And I believe this is a roll call vote. We have a motion and a second.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that's unanimous. Now, the next item on the agenda is our consent agenda. Does anybody on the council want to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I just had a question on, which item was it? Item number 5. So
okay,
I don't know
yeah,
if we need to pull it.
If it's just a simple question, yeah. Go ahead and ask.
Okay. It was just a matter of the with the outside user agreement, whether, I know there's a July 23rd, 2012 deadline. Is it feasible to still make that deadline?
It is feasible. It's going to be tight, no question about that. I think a lot depends on how receptive the city of Pismo Beach is.
Thank you. So I'm going to,
Mayor?
Think I will open this. Yeah, sorry.
Oh,
did
sorry.
You have another? Yeah.
Well, I just was going to mention I was going to abstain from 4, and I had a couple of questions on 5. I wanted to chime in on Mr. Lee's comments.
Are they, like, simple questions? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go ahead and pull 5 then.
Okay.
And I think I'll open this up for public comment. If we're going to pull 5 anyway, we'll open it for – well, let's ask questions on 5, and then we'll open it for public comment.
Sure.
What were your – let's do 5.
Okay.
Let's just do it now.
Let's just get it over
Let's just
with.
Do it.
Why not?
Yeah.
So just let's see if I can remember what my questions were. I think I sent over a little email, but – first off, is the applicant for this in the audience?
And if no.
They're not. Okay.
They're not.
Well, I just want to make it on, you know, be clear on record. That
so number 5 is authorize the city manager to negotiate an outside user agreement with the city of Pismo Beach.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Right. And one thing that I just want to make clear, that the applicant would be responsible for all the costs associated
right.
with this. And that's, I'm sure they're aware of that, but whether, you know, this is going to be a discretionary action on the cities and part of LAFCO.
Right.
And the other thing I had a question for staff is, because it is water wheeling of sorts, is flood control zone 3 going to have to be part of this?
I wouldn't think so. The reason is it won't require an additional allocation or a change in our standard allocation. What we were proposing all along is that simply the city of Pismo Beach wheel the water that is already allocated to us and available for the use of this project.
Gotcha.
as a way of saving on the utility cost.
Good. And then just for the benefit of maybe the audiences, and then the outside user agreement would strictly be for water and sewer for this development?
That's correct.
Okay. All the other services we provide, fire,
right.
police, the whole nine yards. Okay. I, too, have concerns similar to Councilmember Lee with respect to the timing. We've got a fast time schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're confident that we can possibly do it.
Yes.
Are there alternatives to see if you get partially into this? Is there?
Well, there are alternatives. First of all, the deadline. To be clear about that, it's because there's a coastal development permit that expires in this summer.
Okay.
And it can't be extended. It's already been extended, the number that will be used.
There are also some provisions, and I don't want to quote verse and chapter, but for emergency water supply, in the event that, for example, the timing isn't working out, with LAFCO mostly would be the potentially the
okay.
delay, if not just the process. So there are ways of dealing with that. Obviously, all of them would have to include the applicant's willingness to move forward and assume responsibility, risk, however you want to define it,
right.
in those areas.
Well, I'm very supportive of the project in general. I think I sat on it during the Planning Commission, and I see that it is kind of destined to expire here, and mm-hmm. it's just kind of... Want to get it some.
The other comment I would simply like to make is that in our discussions with the developer before the purchase of the property was ever finalized was what made well aware of what the situation was and his options, and that the developer still chose to move ahead and purchase the property.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much.
I have a question.
Yeah, sorry.
Did we not discuss this? Hasn't Pismo Beach been advised of this problem, and hasn't it been discussed with them in the past when we had the other hotel potential?
It was discussed on the staff level between myself and the then city manager, as well as the engineering staff. However, nothing formal ever moved forward simply because the project stalled.
Right. Okay. Well, my only purpose in bringing that up is that it's not something that's going to hit Pismo Beach like they've never heard of it before. They're fully aware of this. They've heard of it before. They've discussed it before. So I think the time frame, yes, it's important, but I think the fact that they're aware of this and has discussed it before has some bearing on whether or not it can get through in time.
Sure. I was just looking at the condition in the staff report, which seems pretty clear to me that if you don't have an agreement or an approval by the city councils, it's dead, and I was just wondering if there was some way to prolong the...
Well, and maybe Mr. Buckingham can clarify, but the condition as it was written was a generally broad condition that said the city would assist and facilitate with the utility provision.
But prior to permits issuances, I think that was the scary part. I don't need anything else, so thanks, Bruce.
Well, I think it would be helpful because we kind of came in. No, please come back, Mr. Buckingham.
Sorry,
we need you. We kind of came up. We kind of came at this backwards, and we did pull it. And so I'd like to maybe if you could give us a brief overview of this project so that people know what the heck we're talking about. That might be useful.
Good idea.
Like the history, like.
Back in 2007, this project was approved by the city.
What's the project?
The project is a 134-room hotel with restaurant located at 950 El Camino Real, which is just east of the Oxford Suites, which is in Pismo Beach, and right near the 4th Street off-ramp there as well. The project was subsequently appealed to the Coastal Commission. We worked out some resolved some issues, and consequently, it didn't get its final approval until about a year later in 2008. They have proceeded through and gotten the 3 1-year time extensions. So this is a drop-dead date, but we have talked with them up front and often about this, and as City Manager Peralt mentioned, I mean, there is a plan B, and that is just a more expensive plan, and that is to actually take delivery of city water and sewer, which are located at quite a distance away.
And I think there have been several approaches from a number of people interested in purchasing hotels, but this is the one that's finally after 6 years, finally coming to fruition.
That is correct. This goes back to shortly after the original appeal in 2008, and I think the condition in there, Councilman Marshall, really talks to, we recognize this was an issue. And even back then, staff went back to the city engineer at the time. We looked at cost estimates. We tried to figure out the most cost-effective way of delivering the service. That was when the city manager first had conversations with the city of Pismo Beach. They've had their water engineering firm do an analysis to make sure that there is not only capacity but storage capability for water. So that issue has been very much vetted. The sewer, not so much, and that will be what we'll be discussing as we move forward.
And then the change is that there's a new city manager, so we haven't got him on board yet.
That's right.
Any other questions or comments?
I do have one question. So are the plans ready for construction? Are we going to see sticks in the air this summer? Assuming this aspect
works
out?
Yes, I mean, the answer is, in talking with the developer, their schedule is they've already using the same architect that had the conceptually approved plan, so they're moving forward with design, development, and construction drawing.
And I was just wondering if there are any other precedents of them using anything of ours for their water. And I'm recalling that they have a great big old water tower up in Grover Heights. How does that work?
They do have water facilities in our city. They have wells in our city.
They have water storage in our city, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have a water tower and wells in our city.
Yeah.
Okay. So what goes around, we hope, will come around. Okay. Thank you. Or the wells might be plugged, says the mayor. I'll be out there at midnight. All righty. Thank you. So I'm going to open this to the public and see if there's anyone who'd like to come forward. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. And this is, in fact, I think, can we take all these as a group at this point since we've there? No? We'll do number five. Okay. Okay. So do we need a roll call for number five?
No.
No. Okay. So let's have a voice vote on number five. We need a motion, I suppose, first. A motion.
I'll make a motion that the city council authorize the city manager to negotiate an outside user agreement with the city of Pismo Beach.
I'll second.
So we have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Bright and a second from Councilmember Marshall. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it's carried unanimously. And then we will take the rest of the consent agenda items as a group.
I'll have to abstain from item number four.
Right, with one abstention from Councilmember Marshall.
Okay, then I'll make that motion as well, that we accept the consent agenda items 3 and 4 as presented.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we have four. Yes.
Just for the record, Councilman Marshall, the reason for the abstention, please.
I was not at this meeting, and I did not read the minutes.
Thank you.
So we have four in favor and one abstaining. And we're moving now to regular business, and this is item number 6, appointment to Citizen Oversight Committee, which is the Sales Tax Committee, and our acting city manager police... Oh, no. Police Chief Copsey, but you're not our acting city manager anymore. You're our police chief again.
That is correct.
Is going to present this. And I understand that our former mayor, Dee Santos, couldn't join us tonight. I believe the other members are here. Unfortunately, she had a funeral, so she won't be with us, but the rest of the applicants will be tonight.
All right. Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. In 2006, the citizens voted and approved a tax measure for the city of Grover Beach. And as part of establishing a transaction and use tax, the city council authorized formation of a citizen oversight committee to consist of 5 citizen members. The committee is to review the annual report summarizing expenditures from revenue generated from the taxes and budgeted expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year. The committee currently has 4 vacancies of the 5. The vacancies are staggered expiration dates for each term. 3 of the terms expired January 15, 2012, last year. One of the remaining terms was left vacant with the resignation of then Jim Caton because he moved to outside the city limits. So that left the 4 vacancies. Staff advertised the vacancies with press releases, Channel 20, local newspapers, and at this point, the city has received 4 applications for the Citizen Oversight Committee, those being Paul Bruner, John LaFerriere, Robert, and Dee Santos. Staff is recommending that council consider those applications and make the appointments. There are several alternatives that council can look at. In the past, council has had advisory committees. When there's more than applicants than positions that are vacant, and they review those applications and make recommendations. At this point, there is only 4 applications for the 4 seats. So staff did not feel that that was necessarily appropriate. So the council has the following alternatives to consider. Select 3 of the applicants to serve on the Citizen Oversight Committee for the 3 terms expiring on January 15, 2016. And 1 applicant for the unscheduled vacancy whose term will expire January 15, 2014. And amend the resolution accordingly and adopt the resolution confirming the 4 appointments. There's some other alternatives. Or the council can make no appointment at this time and request that staff continue to advertise the vacancies for the Citizen Oversight Committee. So at this point, staff is recommending that appointments be made. Selection of the different appointees to the different terms by staff so we can amend the resolution and make the appointments. And there's 3 of the applicants here in the audience tonight that should the council move forward with appointments, staff will be happy to introduce them.
Thank you very much. The only question that I would really look for being answered from the applicants, because there are four, we can put four in or not, is any one of you interested in taking the shorter term? And that would be my only question. So does anybody else have any other question that is pressing?
That was my question.
Mayor, okay. Council members, yeah. And maybe the threshold, if I may recommend, and again, mm-hmm. the order in which you do it is obviously up to the council, but perhaps a decision as to whether or not the council as a whole wants to move forward with an appointment tonight or mm-hmm. exercise the other option, which is to see if there are more applicants, more choices, greater range of applications for you to review. And once that decision made, and if it's the former of the two, then perhaps that approach would work.
So are you suggesting that we do that before we ask people to come forward or after we ask people to come forward?
It's entirely up to you.
Okay. Councilmember Lee, you seem to have a thought there.
I was going to say, I'm comfortable moving forward with appointments this evening.
Okay.
I am also.
Yep.
I have concern.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out that one of the applicants on the application, number one, it's dated September of 2012, which might be a simple mistake, but that's okay. But the applicant also states on the backside of the application that he believes he would be an asset to the Planning Commission. This is not an application for the Planning Commission. This same applicant goes on to say that it is a committee to help decide on what to spend the one-half sales tax on. And that is not the function of this committee at all. So I have great concern about that. And I'm wondering if maybe with only four applicants for four openings that we might be better off to send this back to staff and ask for more applicants before it comes before the council. I personally have a real problem with that. I don't know how it happened or why, but I don't think it's the time to go into that right at the moment. I think it's just a matter of whether do we go forward with what we got or do we go back and ask for more applicants, which is what I would recommend.
You know, I appreciate your coming up with that because I noticed that too, and it did give me some cause for concern. I don't know if any of the other council members.
I missed that entirely.
May I speak on that matter?
Wait till we'll open it up perhaps later. So
I did see that as well. Mm-hmm. I thought, though, that it could certainly be rectified. I think that someone that's willing to come forward and give their time, I think they could certainly become familiar with what the committee is to do. But I think that they could learn easily enough what it is that they're going to do.
Yeah. I'm in agreement, I think, with Councilmember Bright. I think a vacant committee for over a year and four people coming forward to express interest in doing that is a step in the right direction.
Well, let's go ahead and open it up, and we will ask the applicants to come forward. And I think under the circumstances that we should address the issues that Council Member Nichols raised, and perhaps we'll have Mr. Roberts come forward first, and if he wants to address the those issues from his application, he can do so. Did you want to come forward? We'll open public comment.
Robert, 867 North 6th Street. I think the error comes when I was applying for two positions at the same time, and it was just a misprint as far as I'm the Planning Commission. I just missed that because I was applying for the Planning Commission at the same time. And it's my understanding that it is a position to oversee how the money is spent and review and direct that area. Am I incorrect in that assumption? Is that not what this commission's about?
Well, I think we can we'll do the same thing again. We'll take questions and then go back to staff or maybe go back to the city attorney for that definition.
Okay.
Is there anything else you wanted to say or ask about the position?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions of Mr. Robert while he's Okay. Did any of the other applicants want to come forward? Okay. Last call. All righty. Thank you. So we can have a little bit of discussion on that and make a decision as to how we want to move forward with this. Councilmember Nichols, did you have any more?
No, I've made my recommendation.
Okay, and you still stand on that. Thank you. Okay, so we have a little more feedback on that. Councilmember Lee, any comments? Marshall, Councilmember Marshall?
I'm in favor of moving forward with this, and since Mr. Robert blew it on the application, I blew reading it, I would say he gets a shorter term.
The punishment.
That's just how I work.
The punishment fits the crime.
Did she? Okay.
Mr. Robert, would you mind coming forward? Because I need to ask you one more question. Bearing in mind that your understanding was that you will be, that the committee would be giving direction on how the money was spent, and actually the committee is checking to make sure that the money was spent the way the direction was given, are you still interested in being on the committee?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
And Dee Santos, if you read her application, is similar to what I said, too.
Okay.
Make sound decisions for what the city's used the money for.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, and, you know, I think the council makes decisions, but we'll make it based on what we hear from the public. And so you all are looking at what we've done, and I think you'd be very good folks to come back and tell us what you think and tell us what you're hearing from others. So not a bad thing to be hearing from.
Actually, it did generate one question, which I think I already know the answer to, but I'll ask it anyway. Seeing that some of the folks have are also on other committees, I asked the city attorney if these were in any way incompatible with each other, and I'll let him.
I saw no conflicts or no positions that would be incompatible. That if these this slate of candidates is appointed to the committee, I don't see any issues.
Okay, so if there's no more conversation, then I would be looking for a motion and a second.
I'll go ahead and make a motion. First one, what the heck? I'll move that we select three applicants to serve on the Citizen Oversight Committee for the three terms expiring January 15, 2016, and those being Ms. Santos, Mr. LaFarriere, and Mr. Bruner, and one applicant to fill the unscheduled vacancy whose term will expire on January 15th, 2014, and that'll be Mr. Robert.
I'll second that.
And to amend the resolution accordingly and adopt the resolution confirming the four appointments.
Okay. I'll second that.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second, and this one looks to me like it's a roll call. Is that correct? Could we have the roll call, please, then?
Yes.
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 Yes. So it's unanimous. And we will move on to the next item on our agenda. Oh, sorry.
Would you like me to introduce him? I can have
you. Oh, yes, of course. Please. Yeah.
So
thank you. Thanks for catching
me. I would like to introduce Robert. Robert, he stood up already. And John LaFarriere is in the audience. And Paul Bruner.
Thank you very much, and thank you, the three of you, for coming forward. We very much appreciate it. And while we're doing introductions, I was remiss because we do have a new council member, Glenn Marshall. Glenn, thank you for stepping up.
Thank you. Thank you all.
So the next item on our agenda is, we're almost there here, number 7, which is consider a municipal code amendment to change the size, term, and or selection process for the Planning Commission, and that is Community Development Director Buckingham. And the City Council will consider recommendations from the Planning Commission regarding changes to the size, term, and appointment process for the Planning Commission and whether to initiate an amendment to the Grover Beach Municipal Code. And that's going to be Community Development Director Buckingham.
Mayor, members of the Council. At the request of Planning Commission Chair LaFarriere, the Commission discussed at their February 20th meeting whether this would be an appropriate time to consider making a recommendation to the Council on size, term length, and selection process of the Planning Commission. The request was partly in response to the Commission currently having five members, as we have had two resignations of late.
Currently, the municipal code establishes that the council appoint a 7-member planning commission who serve each serve a 4-year term. The current selection process, which most of you are familiar with, starts when we need to fill a vacant or expired term, and requests for applications are posted on our City Hall bulletin boards as well as posted on our city's website. When the application filing period ends, the prospective commissioners are interviewed by a council-appointed screening committee. That committee is currently comprised of the mayor, a council member, and the planning commission chair. Following the interviews, the screening committee makes a recommendation to the full council, who then vote and confirm that appointment. Periodically, there have been difficulties in finding residents to fill vacancies, and this has at times resulted in difficulties obtaining a quorum for the commission meetings. A 7-member commission requires 4. They vary from the council person directly appointing the commissioner, nomination by a council member subject to council approval, and it's, as well as a full council interviewing all applicants and making a decision in a public hearing or a public meeting process. The commission discussed the information provided in the staff report and noted that the current selection process can be lengthy as a result of waiting for a sufficient number of applicants. So if we have 2 vacancies, we're waiting for applications to come in, and typically you're waiting for more than 2 to come in. So upon commission discussion, their consensus on the recommendations are as follows. Reduce the commission size from 7 members to 5 members. On the selection process, that each council member would directly appoint a planning commissioner that would serve the same term as that council person. Align the commissioner terms with the council member terms, 4 years, and the mayoral term of 2 years, with the commissioner terms beginning in January of that 4-year process, 4-year term, and ending in December. And then lastly, not much of a change here, but they did recommend continuing to advertise when a vacancy is soon to occur or has occurred, but also to accept a statement of interest whenever there's not a vacancy, so a pool of applicants can be at hand, and therefore when a vacancy becomes available, we've got people already that are interested. As I've been told, though, by our city clerk, that really is our standing practice today as well. We would accept interest by anybody at any time for commissioner slot. So, in conclusion, the Planning Commission recommended the City Council review these. Tonight we're asking the Council to discuss those recommendations and consider whether or not to direct staff to prepare a code amendment, which is what would be necessary to change any of the things that are being brought before you tonight. And that concludes staff's report.
Thank you, Director Buckingham. Are there any questions of Director Buckingham?
No questions.
Any questions here? Okay.
I had one.
Yes.
Sorry.
Councilmember Lee.
Thank you. In looking at the chart that Chair LaFerrier put together, very well put together with regards to the number of commissioners present and absent and vacant, and looking through that, in it looks like in the past 5 years, we've had a full commission 5 times, or maybe 7 times, so out of the course of 5 years. So is that, I'm assuming that's true. Is there a reason for that besides just busy schedules and opportunities for people to not be at the meetings? I mean, is there some other systemic reason why we've not been able to have 7 people present?
Yeah. I think first you have to take out when there have been vacancies in the commission, that's been no fault of the commission to not have people show up on those particular hearing dates. And then looking through the rest of the list, I mean, it's not uncommon to have one commissioner missing a meeting due to scheduling conflicts, but those are the facts, as Chair LaFerrier did all of the research. So, and he's here tonight in case you have any questions for him.
Does anybody have questions for Chair LaFerrier?
Just basically the same question I just had for Mr. Buckingham. Is there a reason why we haven't been able to have quorum?
I'll have you. Do you want to come forward, Chair LaFerio? Because I'm going to open it for public comment because you had asked to come speak, so perhaps you could answer a question and then you can speak your piece.
Okay. I have his question at the bottom, if I could.
Of what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Great.
You'll get it, I promise. Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council, John LaFerrier. I'm pleased to be here tonight as a chair of your Planning Commission and talk about this item. It's especially a good scene when you're in front of at least three ex-Planning Commissioners and a couple of Parks and Recreation Commissioners and plus countless other commissions you've served. Obviously, I agree with the unanimous recommendation of the council. That's what the commission, sorry, that's what unanimous means. I wanted to add a few things that we discussed that weren't really maybe noteworthy for the meetings, but just so you understand that, and I don't want you to worry about awkward situations because we've decided amongst ourselves they weren't awkward. First, if you go forward with the recommendation, all five of the commission members were happy to serve on behalf of any of the folks that would appoint, so we don't need to find out who plays nice with one another. We're all prepared to just be happy to continue doing what we're doing if selected. Also, we realized when we opened it up with this recommendation to appoint people that some terms could get longer, some could get shorter, and someone could have attended their last meeting. I mean, if you take it to an extreme, so we understand that. I would hope that you would make thing on, and they finally resign. So I think one of the reasons you haven't had that is when you have a vacancy, it's really, or when you have some absences, it's for a vacancy that's about to happen but has not yet happened. So that's my interpretation of the most common reason why the comment you made. So I think cleaner exits, if using myself as an example, if I'm going to put my house for sale with plans to move out of the city, I would think that I would tell a member that I was serving that, you know, I've got these plans, things are changing for me, and we would have cleaner exits, and I know we can have faster starts. I saw what happened in February filling the council member's seat here. That was a much more difficult thing with many more process variations, and you handled that very quickly and efficiently, so I think you can do that as appointing individual people.
Just a point of order. We've got the 3 minutes running, but because you're the chair and this is your program, I want you to just keep going.
We're going to ignore the three minutes. That's all I have to add, and I'm available for questions. Besides, I hope I've answered Mr. Lee's and any other ones that you may have. I can sit down and be called back up if that works.
Well, I totally distracted myself, so could you repeat your last sentence that I interrupted you on?
Oh, I just said I was done. I am available for any...
No, before that. Second to last.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the cleaner exits, mm-hmm. and I think that when you have an individual, I'll use myself an example. If I'm selected in one of the... council member says, John, I'd like you to be on the Planning Commission during my term. I would think that if I made plans to, I could no longer serve, that I would communicate with that person as soon as I knew my plans were changing, and they could begin the process. And so I think if I made such an announcement using myself as an example, that I'll be moving out of the city, informing the person who had come to me to serve, that process could begin. You tender a resignation letter, you fill out your Form 700 leaving statement, and the process begins. Perhaps the city clerk has some statements of interest. Perhaps you, knowing who you've met at your experience up there, you have a list of five people, and it's going to be tough for you to pick. But the process begins then, whereas right now the process has had a late start, and then it has a late start, and then it has a kind of long process to have selection. So we often have somebody has a life-changing experience where they cannot serve, and we're not really getting a replacement within about a one-year time frame. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I wanted to emphasize the number 5 versus 7. There's cases to be made. The commission was unanimous in 5, but I think what I'd hope you would really consider this evening is the selection process part of the commission's recommendation.
Thank you. Does anybody have questions of... Planning Chair LaFerrier?
I may just have a couple. Mm-hmm. John, I really appreciate you coming up and bringing this forward to us. It hits near and dear to my heart. I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
It was hard sitting up here with 7 people. We all got in our way, and sometimes meetings would go on forever.
So I like this idea, and I'm very much in support of where we're going. And I appreciate you giving us the background on the planning commissioners, because I was concerned about how it would align, you know, whether somebody would get a shorter term, longer term. But there was one thing, I think in the staff report they talked about alternate members. Was your commission in support of having a sixth member? Not necessarily.
Yes and no. We saw Pismo Beach does that. That's where we get the recommendation, unlike a member like the Coastal Commission, where they're all so important, they all have alternates. Mm-hmm. But in the Planning Commission, we thought the Pismo approach of one alternate might have merit. Some people cancel at the last minute attending, so unless the person knows they're going to be gone when the agenda package comes out and they come prepared, it may not work. Then I asked the members, after we all said it was probably a good idea, I asked all the other four planning commissioners, as well as myself, which one of you would like to be the alternate? And we all kind of looked the other way. And so we thought it was a good idea in theory, but we couldn't see how you would really engage a person to want to be the alternate. So we wanted to leave that out of our recommendation, capture that in the meeting minutes, and if the council think that's a great idea, then they could act on that and put that as part of it. But the commission did not include that in their recommendations, just as part of our discussion we had that evening.
Good. I'm in line with your recommendations. The last thing I just wanted to ask is the chair, selecting a chair. What sort of discussion did you have on selecting who's going to run the planning commission?
We didn't think that the rotating selection of the chair and the vice chair would be any different, generally an annual rotation. We didn't want there to be a link between the mayor and the chair, and therefore the mayor pro tem and the vice chair, or something like that. So
good.
It's five members selected by the folks in front of me, and they figure out who's some people are better at chair, some people really don't like to be chair, and just let the commission do a lot of things unanimously. I think we have with the five we have now, we have quite a few dissented votes, and it's not the same person. It's we rotate that responsibility. So I think that shows that the five is enough to get the job done. I think that it's less of a concern if you go along with the selection process where somebody is serving at request of a council member, and that council member then can, based on their own schedule, talk to the city clerk if they've got any statements of interest, contact people you know. You can have all that done without coordinating schedules with people, make phone calls. You all make tougher decisions than that. I think you're all capable of, within a month or so, getting somebody that you've met or that has come through the statement of interest program to continue to serve.
Yeah, I think that would definitely expedite that process, no doubt about it. I mean, as far as the selection process.
There's been issues in the past with if the mayor and the selection committee, and then somebody is sick and you don't have three people, and it's
I know.
Taking some effort, and some of the some of the members that have come through the selection process at the last minute have an issue, and somebody that is willing to serve cannot make that Wednesday evening 20-minute appointment, and you just eliminate that. You contact the three or four people, or however many you want, or one, and you get on with it. And the commission stays at five pretty frequently. So I don't worry about it, because of the selection process is going to solve what I think is maybe the only problem the commission has.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. No other questions? Is there anybody else from the public who'd like to come forward and comment on this? Okay, Sharon. You're walking well tonight.
Thank you. I've been working on it. Sharon Brown, address on file. I just want to share with you, which you probably don't know about me, is I served on a five-member planning commission in Fort Collins, Colorado. And we had an alternate. We met as a commission twice a month, as well as meeting with the staff twice a month. We never had a problem. we had a lot of responsibility. And unless something was appealed to council, which it rarely was, our decision stood. And that's for everything. Anything that came through that planning department came to us. So I just wanted to share with you that a 5-member commission does not have to be a problem. In fact, in many ways, I think it does work better. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share that.
That's good news.
Oh, one other thing. We did go through an extensive selection process, and it wasn't just a matter of application, but it was an interview. It was a qualifying, it was not council members dragging somebody in and saying, well, you're interested, or, that kind of thing, or submitting names or anything like that. But we didn't have vacancies either, so anyway.
Thank you for that input.
I would like to see a thorough discussion, though, from you 5 on how you will appoint.
We'll do that next. Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to come forward? Okay, seeing that none, we will have a thorough discussion now.
And Mayor, if I may, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, a couple of things that I'm just as food for thought or suggestions if you are deliberating the potential of appointment, each council member appointing and the mayor appointing a planning commissioner. My recommendation would be that if you go in that direction, that the power of removal rests with the council, not with a single appointer, I guess. And secondly, that you also deal with the fact that the mayor.
So, discussion. Anybody like to go first? Glenn looks like he's got ideas.
Just because I actually met with the mayor back when I was a planning commissioner on this very item, and I think it's an excellent idea getting it down to 5. I think there's some cost savings just in reproduction materials. I think it's less intimidating for the folks who have to come to see 5 instead of 7. To me, it just seemed like a very good idea. I think they would still have excellent debates at the planning commission, whether you have 5 or 7. I think it works very well. Looking through this thing, I would definitely support the 5-member. I would support the nomination. The nomination or direct appointment, I think, was listed in the staff report. I don't have really an opinion on either one of those. And, going either way with that, I like the idea of having the pool applicants. I like what Martin said about phasing in the process. I don't know if I want to. I think it should be a phased thing at this point. Just let the folks run through their terms, and when they term out, then we get a pool of interested parties to select from. Now, whether we each select one or if we just have 5, I'm really open to discussion on that. I don't know what more to say about that. But I am fully in favor, and I would highly support going to a 5-member PC.
Okay. Councilmember Lee?
I was going to let the former planning
the
commissioners.
Former planning? Okay, we'll do that. We'll weigh in.
First.
Then Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Okay. I fully do support going to 5. When we did this before, we had 7 sitting, and we would have had to have 2 would have had to have gone that didn't want to go. So, and it does make for more room as well.
It does.
So I am in support of this. As far as the appointment process, that's a bit of a that to me is a little bit of a sticky wicket, only because I think one of the things that I the beauty of the Planning Commission is they don't have any constituents. So, mm-hmm. and I don't want that to be, I don't want that to get too close. So that would be my only real concern about appointing someone like that, having your direct appointee. But I don't, you know, I watch the Planning Commission meetings for the county, and I don't see that as really being a problem because each one of our supervisors, they appoint a planning commissioner. I just don't, that to me doesn't seem to be a real problem, but so that is a bit of a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. So other than that part of the appointment process, that's my only concern really there. As far as the current makeup, I think we have an excellent planning commission right now. I mean, they're knowledgeable, they're on it, they know what they're doing. I'm really pleased with the commission that we have at this point in time. I would like to make them, I'd like to have them hang for as long as we can, mm-hmm. personally, rather than letting their, as John says, that they're on board for this, I'd like to at least have them stay for our terms anyway. You know, Jeff and I, we've got 4 years almost ahead of us. So we could get at least two of them to hang for at least that long. Well, we have quite a few who are, you know, their terms are going to be up here pretty soon. So, but that's my opinion on that subject. And I am open to I have a great deal of trust in my fellow council members here. So if we all want to vote on each appointee as it comes along, you know, if that's the process that we do later on, I'm fine with that. If we want to just go with each council member appointing somebody, I'm good with that as well. As it goes on. For those, as far as full council terminating a planning commissioner, I think absolutely that's the only way that that can happen. I think it's really a detriment that the mayor's appointee can only be for 2 years. That's really mm-hmm. an odd deal. I guess maybe that's why the mayor should be a four-year appointment, I mean a four-year term rather than two, but that's not where we are right now. So, but that's really kind of a funky deal. So I don't know how we could really get around that. But so I guess those are my comments.
Thank you. And since we were going with people who've been planning commissioners speaking first, then I'll speak last as a former planning commissioner. And I was looking a little bit broader at the some of the reasons, some of the principles, and I agree completely about five is good. And I know I was on the Planning Commission with more variety there and more openness of opinion. So I realize that happens if we have a pool to choose from and not necessarily each choosing our own and, you know, finding our pool, as it were. But I think that if there is a pool to choose from, we can always, if we feel we want to choose our own, we can always direct people to that pool as well. So we still have an option of having some influence on who's available. The other thing is, I think it is really important to continue to really actively recruit, and because unless we continue to recruit people for commissions, and that's the way people really get to know and understand the city, if we don't keep actively recruiting, we won't continue to have good people coming forward, and then we end up with a city that has problems because the leadership isn't good. So I think it's really critical that we spread the net as wide as we can and continue to get really good qualified people coming forward and people who have experience of the city so that they can hit the ground running. And the other thing I would like to see is I would really like to see the Planning Commission come to us when you see things that you think need to be addressed. I'd like to see you take the initiative because you're an advisory body, and I know that we can come to you and ask. I'd really like to see you feel free to take that initiative too. So just putting that out there, because we do trust you and we appreciate you very much. So I think that's, you know, that's all I have to weigh in there on that. So Councilmember Nichols, we haven't heard from you on that.
I have observed the Planning Commission for the last probably eight to 10 years.
I have to agree that I think we could reduce it down to 5 members. I think it could be just as effective, if not more effective. There has been a problem keeping 7 members on the commission, and as Marshall indicated, sometimes gets a little cumbersome with 7. So I think 5 is more than adequate. As to the terms, I think we should keep it at the 4-year term for each of the members. And I am certainly not in favor of having council members appoint a planning commission. I think you've aptly described what could possibly happen. I would like to see that procedure stay as it is right now. Continue to select them as we do, as we have in the past. And the 4-year term and the 5 members. That's my vote.
How do you feel about, since the process of having a committee interview is difficult because the interviewees, the applicants, and the council members all have cumbersome schedules, how do you feel about having them be interviewed by the council as opposed to being interviewed by a subcommittee? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's easier to have a small committee that does the interview than it is to have the whole council do it. I think much easier, and I think it's much less intimidating.
Oh, yeah, it's much less intimidating.
Yeah. I think the process we have now is good.
Okay. Council Member Bright?
Well, I think the process we have now is hard on the commission. I think that's been proven. It's hard to get the commissioners seated. So that is the problem right now. So having the subcommittee, that seems to be a real issue. Well, maybe not so much just the subcommittee, but actually getting the people in front of the subcommittee. So getting the people and getting them in front of the subcommittee. So those are the problems at this point. So I think those are the issues, really, that we're trying to resolve here. So, I mean, I agree with, you know, having a polarized. We certainly wouldn't want that on our planning commission. That would just be such a detriment. It would be just awful. It would make so much progress. So we certainly wouldn't want to do that. So I guess then we just really need to talk about how we can speed up the process so that we don't sit for a year with these vacancies on the, on the planning commission.
Councilmember Bright, if I understood you correctly, then you're supporting the appointment process to speed up that portion of getting a planning commissioner seated?
I would say we could all, I would support that, but maybe where the whole council would weigh in or vote on your appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had some, I came in with truly was a, I was a polarizing person, as was my appointee, then hopefully we'd have a more sensible council who would say, let's find somebody else. Or
isn't that kind of what we do right now? I mean, we have a subcommittee of, I think, the planning commissioner and 2 council members who meet, and then they make their recommendation to the council.
The process of replacing commissioners.
First of all, I can appreciate the need to expedite the process, obviously. It has taken us a while, and that's come from a variety of reasons. One of the things that you should keep in mind with the current process in terms of making sure that it's a balanced approach is that the mayor is always a member of that subcommittee, but we rotate or draw straws for the other council members. So there's a chance for different council members with different points of view to participate at any point along the process. The other thing that you might consider is either way, you're going to want to recruit individuals. And the other thing you may want to consider is that, even if you individually select, you're going to have to do some form of recruitment, whether that's individual or organization and wide, and you need to keep that in mind. I mean, there's still going to be a recruitment and still be time associated with it. The other thing is the pool. I do think it's important to keep an active pool, and that means we need to maybe, and I be a little bit more proactive with some of the vacancies and trying to get out in advance and making sure that we're letting you know that those vacancies are coming up so you can assist with the recruitment. We do that to a certain extent because you always get a copy of the press release, but it wouldn't hurt when we have an expiration coming up to let you know that. Just some thoughts from my point of view as to the process. My only experience, I've a couple of different cities I've been with have directly appointed the members, and the issue I did see is more directly related to what Councilmember Bright said. When you had a polarized council, if that individual was subject to the appointment of the whole, sometimes that just plain didn't occur. If you had a 3-2 vote, the majority of the council tended to not necessarily accept the recommendations of the minority, and sometimes that can lead to complications.
And if I may to add to that, Mayor, Council members, it appears that the major delay in the process has been lack of candidates, not enough people stepping up and being there to be interviewed by the committee. So perhaps a change to 5 and a direction to staff to initiate, maybe if not ongoing, certainly an active recruitment. So there are some people who are ready to be considered if and when a vacancy occurs. Going to a singular appointment, in the past I've experienced pretty political process, very frankly. And also it puts you as council members individually in a position sometimes to having make some difficult choices, and that's up to everybody, and obviously that's... but. I have seen that being an issue as well, where, you know, all of a sudden you have two best friends and you have to pick one of them. But again, that's an individual choice for each one of you to consider. But those are some of the... it's certainly a faster process. It can be, depending on availability again. But those are some of the things to look at. The other recommendation that I would, or at least something to consider... is that if you are going to... appears that at least all of you are in consent that 5 would be the right number. I would evaluate the terms of the current 5 members, and I've heard nothing but good things expressed about them, and perhaps adjusting the terms to fill the longest terms. That some of the vacancies are I think end in 16, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe through the resolution, making that adjustment as well, or at least considering that, you may want to wish to discuss that and make a decision on that issue as well.
I had a question about your vacancies ending in 16. I've got one in 2013 and one in 2014. So
13 and 14, yeah. So moving
the... oh, so the new people who come in stay for 4 years, or... is that what you mean? So if we...
You know what, it's my error. I thought
the applicants coming forward, we could have had someone waiting in the wings for those two mm-hmm. spots. So I guess it kind of leads to the process being working acceptably mm-hmm. when there's interest in folks coming forward and serving on those committees. So it's going to be inherent upon us and upon the community to draw from those people to make sure that we have interested parties.
Mm-hmm.
So that all being said, I'm in support of moving forward with 5 members. I would be most supportive in moving forward with 4-year terms and not having mm-hmm. Personal appointments. I think a 2-year mm-hmm. appointment would be a short straw for someone in a position of that matter.
Okay. So we all agree on the 5 years.
5 members.
5 members, yeah. We seem to agree on the 4 years,
yes.
I think. And we talked about adjusting terms, which I think would be acceptable to everybody. And let me see what else I've got here. Power of removal resting with the council. We are in agreement on that. We don't seem to have come up with a consensus on... I wanted to ask if we could ask the city manager, got close to suggesting it, could we have, when there are vacancies coming up on commissions, maybe you could announce it in the council meeting as part of your weekly report,
so
that the public hears it and so that we're aware of it and we can work with folks too. And then also you have the pool of the people who applied for that council position that we can always go back to as well if they aren't currently serving. So the thing that we still haven't quite resolved, but maybe you guys can help me out here, is do we just keep the pool going? No, we're not appointing, so we keep the pool going. That's a definite. We a little more aggressive in the way we keep it going. So the issue is, do we interview in council meetings or do we have a subcommittee? That's the one thing that we haven't... I'm not sure if we've reached consensus on that.
I think with the information that you've... Or the discussion we've had with the city manager and the advance notice that comes to the city council and the possibility, as Parks and Recreation Department has done, with having somebody in the wings waiting, I think we could follow that same procedure here, continue with the subcommittee that we have now, which consists of the mayor, one council member, and chairman of the planning commission, and get applicants and process the applicants and keep one in the wings.
Which means that it's incumbent on all of us to keep recruiting and keep talking with folks about stepping forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask Chair LaFerriere to come forward again and ask if he feels that that would be workable. I know it's not exactly what you were asking for, and you had a really nice plan.
No, none of it's a deal breaker for me. I'll serve in any capacity, and I'm sure I speak for the other commissioners too. Specific question?
Well, what I'm wondering is whether you think, given the changes we've made, whether you think that you could this will be workable for you.
I fear a little bit that we saw if you go from 7 to 5, and that sounds like the consensus, the problem temporarily goes away, and everything is working fine. But when the problem reappears again of vacancies or multiple vacancies, I haven't seen the process. Maybe what Commissioner Lee mentioned, the person waiting in the wings, maybe that is a solution that might work. So without having seen that, we're all probably surprised with some of the delays that we've had in filling vacancies. We probably thought that it wouldn't be that way, but it turned out to be that way. So I have reservations that if we solve the vacancy problem soon with the 7 to 5, we may not be prepared for the when the 5 goes to 4 or worse to 3 to filling those two vacancies. So I would agree with you. Everyone wants the vacancies to be filled. Everybody will be doing what they can, but whether or not months elapse, I'm not sure.
Let me ask a question of all of us here. What about if we had an alternate, and that alternate would be the one who would step into the vacancy should one occur, and then we'd pick another alternate?
That's one great potential solution. You would have to probably clarify. I'll speak to the city attorney briefly. Is that a permanent alternate or an alternate on call that would only become a serving person upon a vacancy?
It's a planning commissioner in training.
Either of those solutions, the one where there's somebody waiting in the case of Mr. Lee's election and vacancy of that, this person was took over, but would they take over if Jeff Lee was out of town for a period of time and had to miss a meeting? So there's a current alternate and kind of a future to be appointed. And to make it better for the Planning Commission, we can accept the same quirk that the city council has to accept with the 2 years mayor term.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't see that as being a huge problem anyway, because a lot of times we'll appoint people to a vacant position, which is not a full 4-year term. anyway.
And if I may, that issue only comes into play if the council is considering going into direct mm-hmm. appointments. And if you are going in that direction, I mean, one other solution to consider is simply, they're all four-year appointments, and there is a potential that there will be a mayor serving for 2 years that won't get to appoint. Mm-hmm. That's another way of approaching that issue. If you're leaning towards direct appointments, the mayor appoints for 4 years, and next time somebody is up, they may not get a chance to appoint if that commissioner is still sitting.
Okay. And I don't think we're leaning towards that, so I don't think that's an issue. Right. Thanks for making that clear. So what about having going for the alternate and having the alternate step into a vacancy if there happens to be one?
So that would be the permanent alternate / commissioner in waiting.
Right. Permanent alternate until a vacancy arises, then they become permanent, and then we pick a new alternate.
I'm more supporting just having a pool. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to have an alternate on standby. I don't think mm-hmm. it's fair to anybody. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it right now, we're keeping everything the same except we're going down to five. That's kind of
what
I...
Yeah, we are, actually.
In essence. Mm-hmm. 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 And I'm fully supportive of that.
Okay.
I think Mr. Nichols had some good...
And if it doesn't work, we'll revisit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll come back in a year and...
Just keep it simple mm-hmm. for now and see what happens. Then everybody keeps mm-hmm. their existing terms. Or, I think...
Or in the same resolution, because we will need to amend the code. Mm-hmm. And in the same resolution, if you desire to, you can... Basically, move everybody up, fill to the longest possible term. Yeah.
If they're interested, I'm assuming
right. They
would be.
And I think staff at least is hearing that a more active recruitment and an ongoing and perhaps it may be your wish to have an open application that's in some fashion advertised for mm-hmm. to create mm-hmm. several, because mm-hmm. one of the problems with having one person that. Okay, they're going to step in if there's a vacancy. 2.5 years later, you pick up that call, and they've either moved mm-hmm. out of town, or they can't meet on Tuesdays, or fill in the blank.
And, open recruitment, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about those vacancies asking, I'm forgetting his name, the current council member who's due to expire May 31st, asking him if he'd like to step into the vacancy.
Mr.
Greg Alex.
Planning Commission.
Commissioner Alex. Should we maybe suggest that the Planning Commission ask him if he'd like to step into that one? We don't have to. It's just a question, I guess, just to give him a little longer.
You have options. He serves at your pleasure. You may simply.
I would definitely.
You can just.
Or you can ask for another 4 years. I mean, that's his. That's we don't need to.
He always has the option of saying no. I'm going to leave after a year.
Well, we like him. We'd like him to stay.
Exactly.
All righty. That's up to him and up to the commission. So you were looking for direction. I think you've got direction now. And I don't.
We'll return as I understand it. We'll return to you with a ordinance amending the municipal code, reducing the number of planning commissioners to five. In that resolution, we will also tighten up the terms so everybody serves the maximum time that's available under the current ones, and we will also. Provide for an open recruitment process, having basically an open application to create a pool of viable candidates if and when a vacancy would arise. If I missed something, I apologize.
That sounded perfect to me.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay,
super.
Thank you.
So moving along to review of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
before mm-hmm. we do that, could I ask the mayor for a 10-minute break?
Sure. I think that's a good idea. Recess now. We'll be back at 8:40. We are reconvening our meeting of Monday, March 18th. And we are going to go back to regular business. Review of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control District Zone 3 annual budget, and our Public Works Director, City Engineer.
Board of Supervisors, but which comes with a recommendation from the Advisory Committee. So the intent tonight is for the City Council to provide direction to your advisory body member, Ms. Bright. The county has prepared a draft budget for fiscal year 13-14. The total amount is $7,972,000 and some change. The draft budget has been distributed to all the member agencies and for review and recommendation. So prior to council seeing the budget this evening, the city staff's representatives on both the Zone 3 Finance Committee and the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee have reviewed the budget, made appropriate changes, and have approved it for recommendation up to council level. Moving forward, the city of Grover Beach is responsible for approximately 13.6% of the overall cost of operations and debt service. In fiscal year 13-14, the city's recommended assessment is $1,086,916 as compared to $1,130,370 for the current year. So there's a proposed reduction in the upcoming Zone 3 budget for the city of $43,454, which is good news. Mm-hmm. The assessment consists of the following: debt service in the amount of $443,762, operations and maintenance in the amount of $526,739, non-routine ops and maintenance, those are projects basically, in the amount of $44,892, and capital outlay in the amount of $71,523. To provide just a little bit of detail to that, the largest recommended capital outlay item is $280,000 for the addition of a sixth membrane filter rack up at the Lopez treatment plant, the water treatment plant. Non-routine operations and maintenance include items, significant items such as the pigging project, which would be pigging the Lopez line, and also the habitat conservation plan. Quite a bit of the savings you're seeing in the budget this year is as a result of the county's estimate that they'll be spending less money on moving the habitat conservation plan forward this year. So council has several alternatives to consider. They include recommend approval of the Zone 3 fiscal year 13-14 budget, do not recommend approval of the budget, and direct the council's representative to present comments back to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee. I believe that meeting is coming up on the 21st, right, 21st. And then council could choose to take no action on the Zone 3 budget at this time. It is recommended that council recommend approval of the Zone 3 fiscal year 13-14 budget. And that includes my very swift report. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you for that. Are there questions for Director Ray?
I have one.
Sure.
It's not really related to the budget, though.
Okay.
Why on earth would they call waterline cleaning pigging?
It's because of the device that's used to clean the water line. It in some ways might sort of look like a little pig. It's basically it's a block or a round circular cylinder of an abrasive material that they create a way to get it into the line called a pig launching station of all things, and they launch it down the line and then use water pressure to move it through the line, and as it moves through, it scours the interior of the line and all the bad stuff is out ahead of it. They remove all that from the water line, gets cleaned out thoroughly. They retrieve the pig at a retrieval station, and then it comes out. So it's kind of because it looks
like a pig.
Like a little pig.
I've just always wondered.
Yeah.
So I thought while you were here, I'd ask you.
Well, civil engineering is so mundane that we do things like that to keep it exciting.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Council Member Nichols, did you have any questions?
Nope.
Did you have a question now?
No questions.
Okay. I have a few questions. I wanted to say thank you, first of all, and I know it's not quite comment time, but I remember a few years ago when John Scholes was sitting in this position and I was over there that we were hollering at you guys, at these guys, because we thought the expenses were way too high and we thought they were out of control. And it's really nice to see that every year since then they've come down, and I think they're being much better managed. And I know, of course, Jim Gehring, who I gave a commendation to a couple of weeks ago, sits there, and I know he is... think he's quite a taskmaster on those things. So thank you, or pass on our thanks. And can somebody tell me who's our representative there? Is it you, Karen? Okay, so now I have some questions. I'm not understanding this budget, and this is about me, not about the budget. When it talks about money coming in from contractors, how do we get money coming in from contractors? Usually it goes out to contractors.
You are a contractor.
The cities are considered contractors.
Right, the agencies are contractors, right.
We're contractors because they sell water. Or Zone 3 would be looking at a 50% reserve.
Well, I can answer that partially. Mm-hmm. The capital, the actual machinery and equipment that you have involved with Zone 3, first of all, it's almost all of it's critical. And the pipeline, if it's gone, you don't have the water. If the treatment plant goes down, you can't get the water. If something happens with Lopez at the dam, you don't get the water, or worse in that case. So a fairly sizable capital reserve is necessary so that you could have pretty much immediate replacement.
Makes sense. It's a critical component.
Yeah, it's very critical in infrastructure.
Okay. Got that one. Okay, I think that's all my questions except for one extremely important question. I know 2 years ago they told us that we may be facing the end of our issues with the little trout, if the little trout would procreate. So are they procreating, and are we facing the end of it all?
I don't see an immediate or near-term end to the habitat conservation plan issue, so no.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions? I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Does anybody want to offer any comments on this or give any direction to our representative about the budget? Yes, no, nothing
actually
to say.
Actually, none other than I would recommend approval of the Zone 3 fiscal year 2013-2014 budget. That'd be my recommendation to our advisor. Or does that make...
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
It's a voice vote, but we can't do that until we have a second.
Oh, I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. One not here. Is he abstaining? He's not abstaining. He's recused. One recused. So is that's unanimous then?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So he's coming back.
Nice presentation.
Yeah, good presentation. And so we will now be considering agenda number 9, the City Council goal setting for development of the fiscal year 14 budget, and that is City Manager Perrault. And we're going to consider developing goals and a work program to guide the budget process for the next fiscal year.
Yes, Madam Mayor and members of the council, you're exactly right. The purpose of this meeting is to begin the process of developing the goals and work program that will guide the budget through its next phase of development. Annually, the council has done this for the last several years, taking time to set essentially some overarching goals and then work tasks that are to be implemented in order to achieve those overarching goals. In January of this year, I presented the council with an update report in terms of, again, what that list of goals are, the tasks, and the work performance to date made on those various tasks. That item is attached for your reference, and it's also being shown here. This evening, what we're recommending is that actually the goal setting and work program be done in a two-step process. The first part of the process will be tonight, which means taking a look at your overarching goals and determining which of those you may want to change or modify or move around. You also have work tasks to take a look at modifying as well. I know it seems like a big task, but the intent is to end up with a draft document that would come back to the council in a public hearing form at the next meeting so that the council is able to get public comment on those goals and work tasks. In suggesting the FY14 goals, staff wants to bring to the council's attention that the council has consistently identified several projects that still need to be completed. Obviously, and unfortunately, we're on the verge of completing the entitlement process for the Grover Beach Lodge. We expect that that will most likely occur within the next 30 days. The City Council has consistently directed that further progress may be made with the implementation of the Grover Beach Municipal Network. The West Grand Avenue Enhancement Project was obviously a project that is currently underway, at least Phase 2 is, and Phase 3 is going to be a major part of our capital improvement program this year. Consistently, in preparing this, obviously the big task is there's a lot to be done. We've made a lot of progress, but there's still a lot to be done. And one of the things that staff would ask you to keep in mind is that we've got a couple of years of continuing financial constraints ahead of us. That's obviously, especially as it results to the general fund, is going to mean that there's going to continue to be less available in the pie than hopefully we'll see in coming years. We ask that you keep that in mind. Also, one of the things that is important or areas worthy of discussion is essentially filling some of the more important positions that we've let go for the last couple of years, and then possibly easing the concessions that staff has had to undertake. Those are important tasks. In terms of how we would suggest that you undertake the discussion, certainly it's your purview, but my suggestion would be that you initially review the overarching goals. They may need to be changed. They may need to be reorganized. They could be modified or stay the same, depending on your comfort level. Once you've done that, my suggestion would be that you work on any of the implementation tasks that you'd like to move forward with. To assist you, we have up on the wall, again, it's the same attachment you have in your agenda packet, but again, you have the listing of the overarching goals and more or less a report as to where the progress has made with tasks thus far. Staff would suggest that you proceed with the discussion. We're here to facilitate that discussion as best we can. All of the department here heads are present and can answer different questions you may have. And then, as I've said, I would suggest a means of tackling it would be to review the overarching goals first and then subsequent work tasks. So that completes my staff report. I'm certainly available for questions, as well as the rest of the city staff.
Thank you. Are there questions of staff before we open for public comment? No questions? Okay. In that case, I'm going to open for public comment. Is there anyone from the public who would like to weigh in on all of this evening? Okay, seeing none, then we'll bring it back to the council. And we'll start discussion on this. Anybody want to start?
Start with goal 1A.
Start with goal 1A, Jeff Lee. Yeah. What do you say, Jeff?
Just had a couple questions, comments, or more comments, I guess. There's bullet item number 2 is complete engineering design of the Grover Beach Municipal Network. So I think that's all very very much on the top of our minds, and perhaps at some point city manager can provide an update on where we are with that to see whether we need to move that up on the priority or down on the priority. But then one of the things I'd like to include or maintain in this list is the we've got completed Savor the Central Coast promotion. I think we need to maintain Savor presence in advance of the lodge coming in. I think we're seeing some benefits already from our presence at Savor, and I think we need to continue that thought.
Can I back up just a sec? Are we all in favor that that goal is just to remain as is? I mean, I don't have an issue with the goal.
You know,
I think that was the direction that our...
So I've gone back.
No, that's okay. You were just looking at how to...
I'm thinking it might be helpful to look at the overarching goals.
Okay,
you know, the numbers 1A... The numbers 1, 2.
I jumped ahead. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I agree. Yeah. I'm with you on that. And I'm thinking let's look at 1 to 9 first of all and see if we think they're in the right order, and then maybe come to the tasks beneath those.
Is the order important?
Yeah,
it is to a certain extent, and I think the council established the priority last time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have 1A and 1B.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, okay. The council had want to recognize that streets and economic development were the two primary goals that the council had.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, they were in order of priority. I think I'm still okay with the order of priority. What any other comments, or would people make changes in orders of priority in terms of...
Well, that's the problem, I think. It's just we don't have the money.
And the fact is we've got to find the money.
Mm.
We can't keep sitting back and saying we don't have the money. We don't have the money. We need to find it. We need to find a way to get it.
And that way is probably to bring in development.
Well, I don't know. There has to be another way.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or does that kind of then lead the question that finance should be 1A, streets 1B, economic development 1C? I don't know. I mean, finance obviously is how we manage our money.
Mm-hmm.
So economic development is how we go get the money, and streets would be where we put the money.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
That funding is, that's a good point.
It is. It's a very good point.
I just don't want to lose, I just really feel that this year we really need to get those streets. I mean, we really have to make a plan. So that's just.
Yeah. Councilmember Nichols?
Well, I think we need to recognize if we're going to do that, it's going to take a bond issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. If we're going to worry about the streets and want to put it number one, then we've got to make a decision as to how you're going to do it. I don't think
exactly
we should put
right.
it number one and just continue to think about it.
Exactly.
If you're
what
ready
I'm
to
saying.
Make a motion,
what
do
I'm saying.
Well, then come up with an idea. Give us some thoughts on your bond issue.
I haven't got... right now, we're just talking about the order,
yeah.
right?
Oh, well... Okay,
Once
yeah.
Once we get the order, then we talk about how we're going to get there.
Right? Well, Would the bond issue fall under finance?
Mm-hmm. A question, just if I could, Madam Mayor, and maybe this may be helpful if we entertain some discussion between staff and council.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
You probably value for it. First of all, the process that we're in is really setting the direction for the development of the budget. So your primary, your priorities should be where you want to see the majority of the organization's efforts directed. The other point I want to make is it's not expected. This is a planning document, and you know the point of it is to establish a plan, and then as you do the implementation measures, you'll get to a point where you're having the more detailed discussions as to how to actually solve some of these problems.
Thank you. I think Councilmember Lee's comment on finance maybe being number one or at least being a category is really helpful. And I think that absolutely top of the agenda needs to be streets. However, we've got a couple of other things in here which are extremely important, and at this point, before we can do streets, we have to come up with the money to do streets. So I think finding the money to do streets is more important than doing the streets right now, because we can't do the streets without the money. And I think there are a couple of things that have to happen first. Probably one of them is finding the best possible vehicle for getting the money and involving the public in that process, and revisiting our charter. And once we've got the funds in place, and we'll have to look a little bit about how we would do the streets too. There'll be some work on that. But really doing the streets is almost secondary to finding the money to doing the streets. So I think that I don't want to say to staff, spend all your money working on the streets, but let's not worry about the Coastal Commission and the hotel project, because we're going to work on the streets. And let's not worry about getting in the municipal network, because those are really long-term processes that we can't drop. And if we drop those for streets, then we don't have a future. We have beautiful streets, but we don't have a future. So I think we've really got to keep economic development up there, having spent the last few years knocking ourselves out to make that work. I don't think we can just drop that. I don't think we can even put it second. I think it still needs to be way up there.
I agree.
And yet
it's part of the money.
Mm-hmm. I understand. All I'm saying is I really believe, and we all know this, I mean, I'm not saying anything that we don't know, but I think we really need to move that forward.
Yeah.
The town is clamoring for it. We need to move it forward. So
right.
Whichever way we need to do that, then...
Put it on the agenda. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. We need to agendize it and do it.
So we're leaving A1 as economic development. As the top. We're not changing the order so far. And then we go to...
Or we might want to rename it. We might want to call it funding. And put...
economic development and finance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we need to talk about money. Mm-hmm. Because economic development is about money, and
I think I like your suggestion almost of renaming is economic
one,
vitality.
Economic vitality.
A was economic development. Mm-hmm. B was funding.
Okay.
Or finances, however we want to call it.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, so that I'm making sure that I'm recording this correctly, if you wanted to go that direction, the first overarching goal could reflect the need to have, a strong, healthy, well-funded city organization, and just to use some of the words that would relate back to vitality, if that's mm-hmm. the direction that you want to go. That would broaden that overarching goal a bit, and you would then be able to include, both economic development plus bring financing up under that subheading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I'd like to see us move, and, I want the council's participation in this, but as part of that economic vitality, and I'm seeing it coming about. We're seeing the business community has already come up with two different organizations. I know Edie's been involved with one of them. One is a more grassroots merchants organization. The other one is a bigger picture business alliance. But our businesses are coming up with ways of making our community more vital. And so I think that outreach to the community, but also allowing the community to be creative and perhaps, not quite sure the word I want, but encouraging that and supporting that and working with that and being a part of that, partnering with our community in doing that and inviting their involvement. I'd like to see that incorporated more in what we're doing here. So I don't know. I don't know if we don't need to craft the wording, but I think we'll do better when we work together on things. In some ways, I'm finding it's almost better when the community comes forward with it than when we go out with it. So I think the Save of the Central Coast, I agree with you on that one, too. Yeah, it's critical. Yeah.
So what did we just say? So so is any do people have additions or discussions or concerns about that? Is there is that I don't do we have streets in there? We all agree about streets. So how do we put how do we make streets a priority under those headings?
Madam Mayor, what was suggested is that you have economic vitality, an overarching goal, economic development, financing, and then a second overarching goal would be streets. That
okay.
would almost be the next thing you would want to make sure, from what
right.
I'm hearing, that you want to make sure it gets the emphasis.
Right. And I do want to make sure, though, that we've still got the... I mean, part of the funding is how we fund the infrastructure at the hotel.
Sure.
And also the municipal network.
Yes.
And the streets.
And, I think
and the fire department. And the sewers.
You want it all.
And the water.
So I think towards that discussion, I think under the economic vitality, whether it's under economic development or under finance, becomes those bullet items.
Yeah.
So bring forward a bond discussion for consideration by the city. Determine how to fund the improvements for the lodge, the Digital West. So I think we would have a separate category for streets, but in the economic vitality needs to be something that says fund... figure out how to fund the street improvements so that it's in more than one category. It becomes a driving consideration for what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we solve that, then we figure out our second overriding or goal is to put it where we've just said we were going to put it.
Okay. Put our money where our mouth is?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's one here, maintain a comprehensive marketing program to promote city resources and business opportunities. We've got Savor the Central Coast under that. And I'm thinking under that, because our resources are so limited, and I know I'm the marketing advocate here, I think under here, though, the secret here is partnering with community organizations to market the city and to work with businesses. I know the Grover Beach Business Alliance really wants to do that. Not to say that we don't continue to work on our press releases and stay identified and print the odd brochure, but I think that those partnerships will really be critical.
So possibly some language to, do we change that?
Anything more than that?
The only two marketing things that I would see are, one we are planning to do, I believe, which is National Train Day, because we got... we found that to be a very effective and inexpensive promotion down at Union Station. And Car Free and Slow was free and good for our businesses. And then also, I believe we really do need to put forth an effort to attract businesses for the virtual network. And that's more of a PR effort, and that's something which I know the Grover Beach Business Alliance would like to work with us on, and I know that Digital West would work with us. So I don't anticipate that that's necessarily a huge outlay, but it is really important for us to do that one. Those would be the only things I would see that we really need to do.
So is that something that we would want to actually list?
I think we should list it, yeah, because I think they're things that we should consider in the budget.
Because that's for this year. So that's
well, that would be for fiscal year 13-14.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So would that change the second bullet item? Is that where you're kind of going with that? Where it says complete engineering design of the Grover Beach Municipal Network, change that to language?
No, I would put that under the marketing, under the fourth bullet, comprehensive marketing program.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, I would suggest that you probably would want to leave the construction of the Grover Beach the network as it is.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
That's an implementation. That's a project. That's
the marketing goes under marketing.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah. Sorry. Do you have another? Okay. Is there anything else that anybody has on that first page?
Is there anything that staff wants removed because of funding or staffing issues, or because it's been?
Well, on the and we'll deal with this more in terms of later on in terms of community development. But some of this has already been accomplished. I mean, the procedures. It was a little bit redundant, but the procedures contained in the zoning code have been modified. Also, you know, we may think about changing that first work task in terms of Grover Beach Lodge. I really expect by the time that the budget is completed, the entitlement issues will be settled, and the next step in terms of the lodge will more or less be working on moving it through plan check, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we would change that accordingly.
Good.
So we've got page one done of the report, and going on to the second page. Sorry.
I was going to say, and as we kind of move forward, I was going back to our kind of our prioritizing of the discussion. So kind of looking forward, I see, and perhaps this is my Parks and Rec Commissioner hat coming back on for just a second. I see parks is our last priority. And I'm almost thinking if there's any discussion about possibly moving that a little bit up the list, realizing there's not other funding sources unless we get financing and so forth. But I think we do a disservice to our community by having parks as our lowest priority. Because there's so many people that use those and get enjoyment out of that and come to the city for that. So not sure if anybody's willing to move it up the list. I mean, I'm looking at public administration, facilitate the implementation of City Council's vision. I think that's going to happen, hopefully, as well. But I can see parks being more participatory or more a higher priority than developing a multimodal transportation system for me.
And let's go through here and see if as we go through, let's see if it can move up as we go through. And
I also, Madam Mayor, want to indicate that while this is a priority, it isn't meant to diminish Parks and Rec
Yeah, because it's a priority. It's not off the list.
All of these things are considered by staff to be important.
And I didn't mean to represent it that way. If I did, I apologize.
Then can you explain why it's all in small caps? Is there any way, maybe there's some history here that I don't understand, but we've got utilities and infrastructure. Number one, I probably would switch it around, call it infrastructure and utilities. Mm-hmm. And why isn't transportation and...
If I could, Madam Mayor, and I hope you don't mind me interjecting, but one other thing that I would like to add to economic development, because I think it's important, is the revision of that economic development strategy.
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we call that out.
Yes.
With streets, you know, you've talked about moving things forward. One of the things that we've looked at the short and long-term strategy before. One of the things that the council could do is begin making some determinations about what that long-term solution really is. Coming down to grips with the fact that, okay, if it is in fact going to be some kind of other financing mechanism, and if it is going to require an additional vote from the people, maybe this year you're really going to need to settle on that approach and start gearing up for what will happen in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my thought. Mm-hmm. I know that's
what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I'd almost like to kind of piggyback on that if I could, realizing your discussion earlier about the fact that all of our streets are built on dunes and then kind of varying layers of asphalt and pavement and rock and so forth. Would it be a consideration to do a pilot program if it's if City Engineer Ray can come up with a suitable one to determine if there's an alternate method rather than completely re-gutting the streets, putting in what we all know is the base and the pavement and so forth, where rather than doing that complete rehabilitation, can we do an in-place rehabilitation, so which uses the materials that are already there as the base, and then so which hopefully would then potentially reduce the amount of funds necessary to do a city block. And maybe to do a little bit of research on such a pilot program to see if there's something like that, unless it's already been tried, and my history just isn't beneficial.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I think a goal would be to explore alternative ways mm-hmm. to yeah. improve our streets.
Mm-hmm. Much better said.
No.
Than I said. much more. Much better put.
It's going to be a big project with a lot of different... Oh. forms of assessment, and we're going to have to weigh the alternatives and get public input. And
right. mm-hmm. I just think we need to see the alternatives. What are
yeah.
we up against?
Yeah, exactly.
What are the costs? Mm-hmm. What can we do?
And what is the community willing to accept? I mean, from that
right.
perspective. I mean,
and that may work. Work may have already been done. I don't know.
Obviously, Public Works Director Ray has had those discussions with me, and he's continually looking for what those alternatives might be. And certainly, as we discuss the street program, it would be at least outlining for you what we've seen thus far and what may actually be out there as in terms of any kind of an alternative.
So this would be an okay goal? Is that what I understood? Okay.
Well, an implementation measure. I think you still want that overarching goal has to be streets.
Right. As an implementation. Excuse me.
You know, I think, and one of the things that we've always done, and really very successfully, is as we've done water lines, we've done streets. As we've done streets, we've done water lines. We've done the shadow conduit for the fiber optic. We've put in the bike lanes when we've done the streets. We've put in the sidewalks. And, you know, we've found creative ways of doing two things with $1. So I'd really like to actually state that almost as part of our mission plan, as it were. So I don't know if we would, you know, maybe combine that with street. We did combine some of it with streets, but actually state that that's how we operate. We can't always operate that way, but where we can, we do.
So we're just mm-hmm. looking for ways to... combined projects.
Two birds
to
with one stone.
Yeah. Our road system.
Yeah. Our infrastructure, yeah.
And yet some of that actually is stated in the infrastructure, so you want to bring it forward.
Some's under utility is in infrastructure, some's under streets, but I think, I think they could combine. Yeah, isn't that what Glenn said earlier? Why isn't infrastructure a street?
The way I read things.
Yeah, well, I kind of agree with you on that. Maybe they do need to be together. Actually, they probably do. They do work together. I mean, they run along the same...
But there was, I guess, I think as Mr. Peral explained, is streets was a priority.
Well, it is, and they all, as you say...
Or do we go along the lines and like we just did with economic development and call it economic vitality? Do we call streets we say
streets utilities and infrastructure
or streets and roadways and have an A and a B and a
That's maybe a good idea.
Or is that a bad thing to combine all those? Transportation was project oriented. I think. But
yeah, transportation is like the train station.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, mm-hmm. it makes sense to me. I'm with you on that.
Just throwing out the question.
Yeah.
You can throw it out. Councilmember Nichols, you're being awfully quiet over there. You got something to say?
No.
Oh, I guess that's why. that makes sense.
I tell you what I hear.
What do you hear?
I'm hearing we're working toward the same goals that we've worked toward for the last 6 years. We have new council members that are putting the same thing down in different words. Mm-hmm. Same goal, same approach, different words.
Yeah. So we just adopt it as it is?
No.
No.
No?
Mm-hmm. No. I'm not disagreeing with what you're doing.
No.
Not at all. I just think it's very interesting that we still have the same goals, the same major goals. We're putting them in different words.
Basically. Sometimes an emphasis shift... just shifts the way it gets done. Okay. So then we move to, we're looking at, so then what we have left is public safety, community development, housing, finance we've moved up. I had some thoughts under finance. Transportation, public administration, and parks in small letters. That's number nine. It's not intentional.
Sorry.
You know, let me throw in my thoughts on finance, and that might be able to come under public administration. Maybe not. But under finance, and this again is emphasis, I know that the city has done an incredible job of cost cutting, and I know we're working on rebuilding our reserve. I'm looking at what I wrote here. There are a couple of things. There's one thing that we've done really well. We've been pretty assertive in our negotiating on the few leases that we have. And from my conversations with other local cities, we've been a lot more assertive than they have, and we've achieved more. And so I think that's something we can continue to build on. I don't think it needs to be a priority. But the one thing that I feel that we're still missing is our energy use. I think there are still ways to save money in our use of water, and I think there are still ways we can save money in our use of electricity. Our utilities, I think we could still find some ways to save some money. Now that we have two brilliant engineers on the council, maybe I'll get some help with that.
So I
personally would like us to continue to explore ways that we can preserve funds. I know we need to make money too, but in this economy that's kind of tough. And so probably I think that's the one area we still haven't really put energy into. So
this is under...
Well, it's under finance in this one, and it could go under finance, but it might also go under...
So are you suggesting possibly a rewording of that goal to, let's try something here, increase city revenues through energy conservation or resource conservation?
Yeah, energy and resource conservation.
Energy and resource conservation. Mm-hmm. And blank in order to sustain core city services and something along those lines?
I would also suggest that you have two implementation measures, and we'll try and work the wording out. Certainly, trying to continue to make the best use out of our existing resources, mm-hmm. number one. And mm-hmm. secondly, you probably shouldn't let go of the revenue part of that discussion,
yeah.
because there mm-hmm. are... Definitely. A few mm-hmm. alternatives. We mm-hmm. keep bringing
yeah.
up the business tax certificate and a couple of other mm-hmm. things that we may be able to do, but it's important to realize that they're, at least for the general fund, very, very limited in terms of what we're able to do, but we should continue to explore those.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And before we leave that talk, I know under public administration is the discussion about the charter, but technically, could the charter be a finance tool as well, or is it best left under public administration?
My suggestion would be that you leave it under public administration, because the intent of the charter is much broader. Certainly, one of the goals is to be more efficient and to find ways to save money, but that's not the only.
Well,
you can take those items off.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
and I think what we don't see is that, and I see now because I'm on the conference center committee, is that there is a huge amount of work that goes on behind the scenes to get this developed, and now we have another hotel coming on board that we've been trying for 6 years, and it's critical that it gets done well, because the better it gets done, the faster it comes in, and the more money we have to fix the streets. So I think it's important that we allow Bruce to have enough time to get the job done well, and you're doing a great job. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to another thought I had on that is, what would be helpful for us as we set these would be to have, we've got action plans, but the timing would be really helpful for us, because I know you can't do all of this right now. Because I've been trying and it's not working. I don't feel good having tried so hard. So I'm thinking that that would be a really helpful thing if you could give us a time frame. It's an estimate. It's like a business plan. You know, it's a map, but you don't always follow the straight
map. Well, isn't it the fiscal year? Yeah, it is for the fiscal year.
We know when it starts, but
Obviously, in working with staff in terms of coming up with the implementation measures, what I will do is draft what you've provided me and ask them for input as to mm-hmm. what those time frames are.
So, for instance, if I say, well, you know, I want you to do the tree list, I want you to do a sign ordinance, parking ordinance, so let's start them all in June. So I want you to say, well, we could do this one this month, and then you, that's, I want.
And along, if I can add potentially two things into that, because we've talked about the sign and parking ordinances. We gave direction for staff to move forward with grant funding for the housing element. And this is probably my lack of history, but has there been a resolution on the vacation rental ordinance?
I would like to keep it. You know what? I want to keep that tabled.
Okay. And I don't know if it goes under here or another location, but I know a climate action plan is kind of working its way through the county in various phases and so forth. So I don't know if that's under this goal and element, or if that's another location, or we want to make that silent as well.
It would probably be under community development, and that's going to be coming along. It's in course now.
So do we need to put it
under community development would be my suggestion. But I think
is it a priority? Do we have to do it?
We have to do mm-hmm. it.
So it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like it or lump it. Mandate.
Okay. My suggestion is if we could for a second return to public safety,
mm-hmm.
we really need to...
Yeah, we need to address that. So it really is time to get staffing numbers up to par there. And that's what you're thinking?
Yes, to the degree that obviously budgeting constraints will permit, yes.
And then the Five Cities Fire Authority is working with the three municipalities. So here's where our dilemma comes in. We have an election, a couple of elections coming up. We have some options. And we're going to people to say, well, you know, we got a bond on the streets, we got a charter that'll help with that, and we need some money for the fire department. Oh, and by the way, we're probably going to need some money for a new sewers too. 60 years old and in a flood zone. So never mind. So that's three things that take money and one thing that might help. So I think we do kind of need to think about timing of all those things, and I don't have any answers tonight. We got some stuff to think about.
And maybe the way I was looking at it in my brain was the Five Cities Fire Authority, their time frame was to try and come for the June 2014 election.
Right.
So which would then – and that would be the kind of the earliest mm-hmm. piece of that puzzle. And then I guess it would be up to us to determine whether we go with a bond measure in the November 14th or the charter measure. And I think a replacement of the sewer plant is still...
That's a ways out.
It's still a ways mm-hmm. out. The Coastal Commission will have lots to say about that for years to come, I'm sure.
Well, first we have to raise the rates.
Right.
Warning.
So I don't know if I mean, I think the bullet of support to Five Cities Fire Authority is good mm-hmm. as
well.
Stated.
They got here first, yeah.
Right, and maintaining the staffing level. So I think I see those as continuing items, mm-hmm. but I don't know if that gets the discussion you were looking for.
Well,
the
public is going to how they react to us,
right? And I guess the only concern I would have, just knee jerk, would be whether one undermines the other, and vice versa. with regards to, we've got a funding source, and there might be competing sources. I don't know. I have no idea.
They might be, but
I don't know,
they wouldn't go at the same time anyway.
Well, no, that's what we're talking about. We're
in June 2014. Both the charter and the fire services would be on the ballot.
Sure, but the charter wouldn't be. How would that compete?
Madam Mayor, I could, I. Jumping ahead, that the to bring that charter discussion back.
Right.
At that point, you're probably going to have a full discussion.
Right.
As to what those timings should be. And the other thing you will need to keep in mind between the November and June election, certain things are more likely to be successful, and we can cover that at that time.
Right.
So to give you a little bit more of that analysis then.
Okay. Yeah, we can take that up later.
I
think I got us off track. Okay. So
Public safety.
Public safety. Are we in support of the Five Cities Fire Authority as being one of the bullet points and the staffing levels in the police department?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do we then continue the discussion and review options regarding delivery of law enforcement services? Or it says that's completed, but do we need to revisit that sometime in the next fiscal year? Or is that a completed bullet that...
At this point, it's a completed bullet.
Okay. Nice to take something off. Let's take it off.
Bob, did you have anything else in mind that you wanted to add to this?
No, I think that if you look, and I'm continuing as we go through here to try and look at what the staff is recommending. Obviously, I think, and I'm not going to try and speak for the police chief. He's quite capable of doing that himself.
Sure.
But he will tell you that one of the more important things is obviously getting the staffing levels back to where they were, mm-hmm. and we're going to have to continually work at mm-hmm. doing that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's already in here, so.
Yeah, we'll just change the numbers, make them more realistic.
Just update it. Sure.
So we've got public safety as goal number two.
Remember, they all equal. Mm.
Yeah, well, they're not. Historically haven't been.
What I would have is to, again, you've got that economic vitality, which is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Under that, you've got economic development and some discussion regarding finance.
Mm-hmm.
And following that, still as a second goal, is because it's so important, is the streets
mm-hmm.
and
right.
infrastructure, as mm-hmm. as I'm hearing now.
Uh-huh.
And then three would be public safety in
okay.
terms of order.
Okay.
Right.
And finance we've covered.
Yep.
We then have utilities and infrastructure, which we covered.
Yep, we've
and then we've got community right. development, housing. You know,
it's done.
Right. I mean, quite honestly...
No,
well, it is almost done because we could. The affordable housing could go in under community development.
You know, I thought that seemed like a good idea to me.
Yeah, let's just move it up and
but
take
does that
it
work
out.
For staff?
Right. That's probably the staff that would most likely be working on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then that makes parks last. I wanted to put it last.
well,
housing. Parks under infrastructure.
Parks probably deserves one unto itself. So, the other thing with community development, I'll work with the CD director, as I will with each of these individuals, in mm-hmm. developing some implementation pieces that will come directly off of this list, unless you would like to do it differently.
No, I think it's a good idea.
Then we have transportation, which is really important because that's our train station expansion.
And we've got SLOCOG monies waiting for us
mm-hmm.
for that.
Yeah.
So,
and we need to stay on top of those monies and keep going for some more.
Which is why I was advocating for putting it under streets, utilities, and infrastructures. But that's okay.
Would it fit there, Bob, or not necessarily?
Well, it can fit wherever you choose to have it.
It's just about reordering. Reorientation.
I tend to agree with Councilmember Lee. I mean, really,
you should group things that are alike, because then when you're looking at it, you can see everything as a unit.
And maybe that begs the question, is which area of staff would be working on that most directly?
Well, combining streets.
So public administration, I think we've discussed the charter, mm-hmm. So I don't think we need to go any further into that.
Yeah. I think that's pretty critical, too, mm-hmm. But it is one of our top priorities. So, right. Let's talk a little bit about parks. And, I mean, that is, we've talked about everything else. So, mm-hmm. But what do we need to do with parks? We've got a street tree list here that I would really like to talk about. It's been several years since mm-hmm. we've been talking about that on our mm-hmm. planning commission.
Actually, that was mm-hmm. one of the first items that I talked about when I was on Parks and Rec mm-hmm. 4 years ago.
I know. We talked about it on the planning commission ago. 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the discussion about community gardens is also a really important discussion. Mm-hmm. So both of those I really support. I reckon there are probably some other issues, too.
Madam Mayor, one of the items that you'll see on the list, and it really relates to park facilities as well as city facilities. One of the things that is critical that we begin doing, even with our limited budget, is mm-hmm. begin setting some funds aside
right.
for approaching rehab of mm-hmm. our existing facilities.
Yeah.
I mean, all you need to mm-hmm. do is take a look at what we've got mm-hmm. and what's deteriorated, and we know that we're going to need to begin addressing that in some way.
Can we put that on the list then?
Oh, yes.
Have you got that on the list here, on your list?
It is in the comprehensive list, in mm-hmm. the staff-suggested list, and certainly we can move it over to the implementation mm-hmm. measures. And that would be important, I think, to think about in terms of not just park facilities, but city facilities mm-hmm. as a whole. And I think we mm-hmm. need to find a way
mm-hmm.
to,
yeah.
you know, the courtyard, I don't know if mm-hmm. anybody's been down there recently, but that needs a lot of attention. And there are other areas in the city that we need to be working on.
Okay.
I
too much deferred maintenance.
And that all does fall under infrastructure.
To a degree. My suggestion would be that maybe under the infrastructure we talk
Great.
About some of the same, some of the more germane city facilities. Under parks, you've got some real parks-related mm-hmm. infrastructure that needs some attention, and we need to call that out in some way.
And I support putting those. You guys are being awfully quiet. I feel like it's a conversation between us, we three. Have you got any more to?
Nope.
All right. Okay.
I'm just kind of fading.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering if we should just really quickly go through this list, and maybe the staff have been watching. I want to make sure we haven't left out any of this list from staff suggested of 1 through 17.
Well, you know what? If you see something specifically, please call it out. If you don't, if you can provide staff the flexibility, we'll go ahead and put some of these tasks into the appropriate goal area, and you'll see that with the final document.
Okay.
Probably doesn't take a lot of discussion. Some of what's said here, you know, is to maintain current systems. Obviously, we're going to want to do that as an implementation measure under infrastructure. So it doesn't mean that you have to, at this point, go through all 17 of these.
The one thing I don't see is the West Grand Master Plan. Not that we have, we're going to do the final one with the conference center, or the next one with the conference center, but so there's nothing in the next year that we would be moving forward with, I guess.
Well, and I'll talk with the community development director regarding that. You know, it goes back to that next step of the zoning document as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that implementation is going to be getting the council to focus on, do we really want to make changes to the current parking ordinance.
Okay.
That'll mm-hmm. be an implementation measure of the West Grand plan.
I what I'm thinking here is we've had a practice of keeping things in the pipeline, you know, making sure that we've got plans being drawn so that when the money's available, we're shovel ready. So I just want to make sure that John was so good at keeping that practice up. I don't have those skills. You guys got a job to do here, and I want you to do it. Please do it. So I need that. I can't do that.
The only other thing I'll mention relative to that, you know, we've got phase three that we're working on right now, and we've talked about that. It'll be down towards the other hotel. The other major street project that we're going to have to be looking at doing is probably Oak Park. Sooner than later.
Right.
And we know that's going to come up. So, in fact, we're looking at trying to get those preliminary.
And our participants online, we're trying to increase participation on the online registration so that fewer are coming in to City Hall and registering here with paper and cash. So we're trying to increase online registration. And we're researching what other cities. It's the number one national recreation programming software in the market right now.
Good. Thank you. Mm. Excellent.
Thanks. Yay, Parks.
Stays on greenhouse gas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mayor?
Yes.
What about item number four? Where are we on that? What are we going to do in that direction?
You mean on the city staff, on staff's list?
Correct.
Phil, keep vacant positions and ease employee concessions by minimizing budget impacts to city staff. I'm good with that. I kind of assumed that was a given. Is everybody? Yeah.
Complaints on that?
Yeah.
Absolutely supportive.
What we will begin to do is, you know, very slowly. We anticipate that the budget will recover next year. Mm-hmm. Will be a continued difficult year, and I don't mean to say anything else but that. But one of the things that amongst, as we slowly build back our budget, we'll be looking, you know, at replacing some of the key positions. What are they? Obviously, public safety is one of those. Public works, where we've got the high-end contact, and ultimately maybe some additional staffing for City Hall as we return to health. This won't happen overnight, but that's more or less what we're talking about, is a development of a plan that will accomplish that.
Okay. You're good with that?
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So
we will now move on. We've already dealt with one pulled consent agenda item, so we're on to council committee reports. And Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you're number one.
Oh, okay. Well, just briefly, housing trust fund. Thank you. Housing trust fund. Most important, I guess, is the legislative issues. They are going to be requesting, or the Housing Trust Fund is going to be coming to the cities and requesting support for a couple of issues. One, I don't know if they've come to you yet, city staff yet, about SB 391, California Homes and Jobs Act of 2013, proposes to raise over $500 million each year for affordable housing through a $75 surcharge on recording most real estate documents.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Mm-hmm. And there are several others, but they're going to request support from cities for this. So, anyway, that will be coming down the pipeline here soon. So, anyway.
Thank you. Councilmember Lee.
I had my first IWMA, or Integrated Waste Management Authority, so as not to get myself in trouble with acronyms. and it ended up being there was probably three or four new members on the authority, and so they used it as an opportunity to provide some background for all of us that were new. And one of the elements that was discussed was the fact that by 2020, they want to have 75% diversion from landfills from the base year of 1990. Mm-hmm. And currently, we're at 69%. So, which is great news. Mm-hmm. We're actually in advance of a number of the communities throughout the state, and we have some pilot programs that are being used as all over the nation with regards to starting here and being able to divert waste streams and so forth. So, that's good news. I think the staff of the IWMA does a good job of bringing that forward and having it be cutting edge without being too intrusive from that perspective. So, and then the Homeless Services Oversight Council meets on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we'll see how public comment goes with regards to that and how that agenda moves forward. So,
thank you.
That's getting crazy.
Yeah.
And Councilmember Nichols.
The Five Cities Fire Authority did have a meeting last Friday to update you on the special district parcel tax issue that was brought before this council, and a discussion was held. That same presentation was made before both Arroyo Grande and the Oceano Community Service District. Both the council and the district voted to pursue the matter. Both were session and stay back there, but that's the 7th through 12th of April, and I will be attending that. There's a total of, I believe, 73 persons going from San Luis Obispo County, all of the cities, districts, county. So unfortunately, Mr. Perot is not going to join us. He was scheduled, but he's not going to go with us, but I'm looking forward to that. I'll have a report on that when I get back.
We all want to go, too.
I believe they're going to create a tsunami.
Oh,
if
good.
If I'm not mistaken.
That'll be
and
fun.
That's the exercise that we will go through that's going to hit this area, and we'll have to respond to it.
Great. That'll be an adventure. Thank you. I have quite a few things. The Air Pollution Control District meets next week, so nothing there. Economic Vitality Corporation again meets next week. So Council of Governments has given us some interesting facts and figures, and I don't have them tonight, so I'll bring those next time. The South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, I have just one thing to report, and we did... we are meeting this week also, but we have a letter from them following on from when they asked me to come to ask you how you felt about two things. One being, would you like to rotate the meetings? And I know our council said, we don't care too much. Either way is fine. And they also asked how we felt about adding a couple of extra board members. And I think the council said, well, that may be a good idea. We're not too bothered. And I think most of the councils were fairly supportive of adding a couple of board members, except for the fact that it requires legislative action and a special election or an election, and so that's off the table for now. However, Arroyo Grande and Oceano both really wanted to rotate the meetings, so we have a letter here requesting that we rotate the meetings, and they're suggesting to us that we might like to do that we might like to take 4 months of meetings here on the first and third Wednesdays of the month, starting, I believe, November through February. And that's something we would need to agendize, because we said, no, we don't want to do that. So I think that perhaps we could agendize that for conversation, and maybe I believe that the city manager is going to come back to us with what staffing and overhead costs right. would be, and we need to decide if we want to offer that to Grover Beach residents and be supportive of them, or if we think that's possibly out with our resources. So no obligation. We said no. So we'll see on that one. Yes.
And
we can't discuss it tonight. We can agendize it later.
Actually, I was going to mm-hmm. ask a question mm-hmm. for staff
sure.
if they if they know. Is one of the questions that I think I would want to ask is Oceano the CSD reimbursed for the use of their room?
If I know Tom Gieslin, they sure are. But I don't know.
And
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
It's a
good
one
question.
Of those questions to
yeah,
ask
it's a good
as
question.
As we move forward with
I'll
that.
I'll ask him Wednesday night.
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Oh, really?
There is no charge for that.
Wow. Okay. I'll ask him. There will be shortly, probably.
Keep in mind that when you do charge, the payment for the charges will come from the ratepayers.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody keeps asking, are you paying for this and paying for that?
Good point.
What you're really saying
really
is, I want to charge the ratepayers more money.
Right.
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Good point. Thank you for that. Okay, now I've lost my agenda altogether here. Here we go. That was all on that, except one thing related to agendas is that, I mean agendas, one thing related to committees is that I'd like to agendize a discussion about committees because our new council member is very lonesome. He has no work to do.
I think we had slated that, if I'm not mistaken, was it April 1st? Yeah.
April Fool's Day is very appropriate.
I like that. That's very appropriate.
Okay, super. Thank you. City council member items. I have a couple of things. Do any other council members have anything?
I'll have two.
Okay, on you go then.
I have communications, but not,
great.
Not
okay.
Member items.
Oh, I'd like to agendize two things, if possible. We probably all received a letter from Senator Alex Padilla.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're interested in this earthquake, what do they call early warning system. And I think there's a resolution in there that the city council may want to...
I think we should talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So
is everybody else good with that?
Yes.
I'm good with that.
And secondly, being the new guy, I thought, well, let's go for tar and feather and see if we'd be interested in changing the meeting dates.
Our meeting dates?
Our meeting dates. Days, I should say.
Days?
From Monday to...
We've always done it this way.
I know. We have always done it this way.
And going through the goals and the objectives, I think... My personal opinion is staff has other things to do.
Oh, yeah. I don't want staff to have to do a report. It's just a conversation.
No. Yeah, just a conversation.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But staff can weigh in on how they feel about it.
Yes, we would definitely want staff's input on something like that.
But not a big report.
But they can't spend any...
Okay.
They can't do anything, but they want to...
Okay, we'll have a conversation that where staff weigh in, but they don't have to do a report.
My whole schedule is... based around Mondays.
Is it all?
We're not discussing it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be happy to talk about it at another
okay,
time when
so
it's scheduled.
Great. Any other items from somebody else?
Really?
Council member items? No? Okay. Okay, I've totally forgotten what they are. I have another letter, I believe.
You do.
You know about it?
Well,
oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
SB7?
SB7.
Yes.
Right. Yes. This has been coming along for a while. In fact, I was told about it a few months ago, and I chose not to believe it. I was hoping it was wrong, but it was not wrong. There's a Senate Bill 7 coming up, which basically would say that any city, any charter city that... that allows people to use non-union labor for projects would get no more state funding for any project. And it's going before the Senate soon, I believe.
Well, it's working its way through
the
Senate right now. It went a bit faster than we had anticipated. It went to the Industrial Relations Committee. It's now up before the Appropriations Committee. That's why we drafted the letter for the mayor's signature, because we had an urgent call from the league to get something to them as soon as possible. Otherwise, we would have brought the letter to the full council.
Right. So I acted without having an opportunity to speak with you all. I have already advised Assembly Member Ashajian and also Senator Monning that I believe that we would be opposed to that. And I know that Mayor Marks in San Luis Obispo has written a really nice legal-sounding letter about it, too, opposing it. So at some stage, we may have time to come back to the council on that.
Question to staff, if I could, on that.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be productive or just a matter of additional paper if each of the council members wanted to write such letters?
Go for it.
What do you think?
I think that in addition to a letter from basically from the city, from signed by the mayor, which expresses consensus of all of you, I think individual letters could only help. I can't think of a downside to having individual letters from council members. And subject to the council's approval and some level of review, if council desires, they could go on city letterhead without or simply be authored by individual council members and put on their own letterhead without the city or the council reviewing them.
Personally, I fully support that because I trust any and all of you to do that. How do the rest of you feel about that?
Madam Mayor, if I could, one of the things that I think is as we continue, we'll continue to update you on the progress. I also think that what is often very effective is if you're going to make an individual communication is to make that through either email or a phone call to the assembly member, because they need to hear from all of you individually as well as a group, especially in an item that is as important as this.
It's also an easy way to do it quickly, and you can do it straight through the senators or your assembly members' websites. So, yeah.
No,
or
would that
the
be
league.
Something? I'm sorry.
Sorry, no. Go ahead.
Would that be something we should CC our city council on, or
it's not necessary?
I'm just acting as a private citizen on it. Okay. Would I even sign as a council person? Or just sign.
Well, based on the council's consensus, you could.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I've missed this. Do you want me to like send like Gotcha a text and
yeah.
and like Bill Monning and like
we're all
that?
Saying we're very happy to have you do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As a council member.
Either way, however you feel you wish to do it. Yes, you may as a council member.
And so the same thing with Steinberg?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Monning. I advised the city manager of this today, but because it was the weekend, I took the liberty of sending an email to the Director of State Parks and also to the Department of Finance suggesting that they reappropriate the funds for one more year to allow the county and state parks to consider whether perhaps they might like to consider that sale and purchase one more time. And then if it doesn't work after the next year, then obviously it's going to be too expensive and no one's going to have the money anymore and it's too late. So it wasn't I didn't write on behalf of the council. I wrote as the mayor and said, why don't you keep it for one more year? And obviously, my intention had been to bring it before the council and get the council's approval or not to do that, and there wasn't time, and I felt it would be acceptable to ask them to reappropriate funds. So wanted to let you know about that. And I'll provide a copy of that maybe in the Friday letter so you know what I said on that. Are there any city council member communications? Yes. Jeff?
I have one in starting with the conversation that we had with the planning commissioners and so forth. It came to my attention this evening that the Parks and Rec Beautification Commission has two terms expiring, and so those terms there will be some vacancies on that commission, and obviously they're looking for people, either the sitting commissioners to reapply or those interested to submit their applications as well. And perhaps I put this under the wrong spot, but does read in the paper that Oceano is about to embark upon a minor use permit through the county for a farmer's market and series that's basically going to conflict with ours.
Oh, no.
So it's going to overlap. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what that means yet or not, but it basically is going to be on every Sunday afternoon. If I read correctly, it was going to start earlier than ours and end at 4 o'clock. It was going to go from 1 until 4. And ours goes from 3 until 6. So there might be obviously some conflict with farmers and vendors that wanted to participate with us.
Hmm. So. Yes, I think there will be.
Yeah.
I'll have a conversation with Matt. I forgot to say one thing, too. That is, I wanted to say, if you could pass on to Public Works Director Ray, I drove up 13th Street yesterday, and that sidewalk looks great. It really looks good. Seeing as it was only two or three blocks, I had no idea how good it would look, but because it links up other sidewalks,
right.
It looks great. It's really an improvement. If you get a chance, drive down 13th. It's a much nicer drive now. So, and it looks so much safer, too. So congratulations. Can't wait
we'll
to see Grand.
We'll pass that along.
Yeah. City Manager, reports or comments?
The only comment I have is it's good to be back, and I would like to thank the council and everyone else that provided me words of encouragement and support while I was out for about the last 6 months, and again to recognize the
6 weeks.
6 weeks, yeah. 6 months.
It felt like 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to also recognize the police chief for an excellent mm-hmm. job that he did on my mm-hmm. behalf during that period.
He did a great job, and we missed you. Yeah. Not because of the chief. City Attorney, any reports or comments? And we have a closed session.
Yes.
Sorry, would you, on you go.
Two items. The council intends to meet in closed session on two items. First one being existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley water litigation. The second is labor negotiations pertaining to all employee groups.
Okay, and we'll report back. But for now, I'm going to recess to closed session.
Take the second one first.